From Houston, Texas, the New York Mets are on the air. Hi there, everybody. This is Ralph Kiner. Welcome to another big league game brought to you by Rheingold Extra Dry. Tonight, the Mets meet the Houston Colt 45s here at Colt Stadium in the final game of their series. Lindsey Nelson, Bob Murphy, and I are on hand to bring you every bit of the action. This broadcast is authorized under radio rights granted by the New York Mets solely for the entertainment of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the New York Mets is prohibited. Well, right now they're celebrating at Colt Stadium Flag Day and also Boy Scout Day. And in the background, you could probably hear God Bless America as they enter from center field, in direct center field, a mass entry of Boy Scouts carrying American flags. It's a warm night here in Houston as the New York Mets conclude the final game of their series with the Houston Colt 45s. Series stands all even at one apiece. Well, right now, how about checking your own supply of fine gold Rheingold? Rheingold Extra Dry. Yes, sir, put some Rheingold on ice because it can add a lot to your enjoyment of the game. Here's a beer with a clean, pure taste. Brisk and bright all the way through. Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why. And say, right now would be a good time to light up a cool cigarette. You'll feel extra coolness in your throat when you come up to the menthol magic of cools. Now out in center field, the Boy Scouts have entered into the ballpark, and there must be some 100 Boy Scouts or so, all with American flags, and they're lighting up a fireworks display.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. Conclusion of our national anthem, the lights come on. Now, all the Boy Scouts had sparklers in the area, and the lights were turned off, and the flag unfurled on the center field fence. A wonderful display by the Boy Scouts of America here in Houston. Say, right now would be a real good time to light up a cool, and also a good time to settle back with a tall, cold glass of Rheingold while we give you the starting lineups for tonight's game. For the New York Mets, Richie Ashburn will lead off and play center field. Batting second, playing shortstop, Elio Chacon. The third batter will be the third baseman, Cliff Cook. Batting fourth and playing left field, Frank Thomas. Batting in the fifth position, playing at first base, Marv Thornberry. Batting in the sixth position at second base, Charlie Neal. The seventh batter will be the catcher, Sammy Taylor. Batting eighth in right field, Jim Hickman. And on the mound for the New York Mets in this final game, Jay Hook. For the Houston Colt 45s, Al Spangler will lead off. He'll be playing in left field. Batting in the second position and playing second base, Joel Malfitano. Batting third, playing right field, Jim Pendleton. In the cleanup spot at first base, Norm Larker. Batting fifth, in center field, Carl Warwick. The sixth batter will be the catcher, Merritt Renew. Batting seventh, playing third base, Bob Aspermonte. And the eighth man will be the shortstop, Bob Lillis. And on the mound, batting ninth, a right-handed pitcher, Bob Bruce. All right, now Casey Stengel talking over the grounds rules with home plate umpire Frank Sicori. At first base, Tony Vinzon will be the umpire. At second base, Paul Pryor. And the third base umpire will be Augie Donatelli. Say, did you ever find yourself caught off base with a brand of cigarettes you're smoking? Are they suddenly tasting flat, dry, hot? Those weak menthol brands you try out as pinch hitters, are they striking out too? And it's time you made a real change. It's time you came up to Cool. Tell you something, your cigarette's not tasting cool enough till you come up to Cool. Cool's refreshing menthol magic actually brightens taste. You'll feel extra coolness in your throat all day long. Extra coolness no other cigarette can give you. Take it from me. Better come up, all the way up to Cool. Get Cool Filter Kings or Cool Without Filter. Feel that extra coolness in your throat. Well, right now I'm going to light up a Cool. And while Bob Roos gets all set to come out to the mound, this will be a good time for you to light up too. You know, the makers of Cools are proud to be bringing you these games this season, and they especially hope you'll enjoy this one. So, as the first man comes to bat, why don't you come up? Come up to Cool. And now the Houston Colt 45s take the field, and we're about all set to go. Let's check the scores in Major League play. In a day game, Milwaukee defeated Los Angeles 7-1. The winning pitcher, Bob Shaw, he has now won 9 games while losing 2. Losing pitcher was Williams for the Dodgers. Pittsburgh Pirates over the Chicago Cubs 6-3 with Bobby Friend going for a victory. The losing pitcher was Ellsworth. In a night game at Cincinnati, through 6 innings of play, the Cincinnati Redlegs lead San Francisco by a score of 5-0. Pitching now for San Francisco, Bolin on the mound for the Redlegs, Jay. Philadelphia at St. Louis, not scheduled. Over in the American League, the Minnesota Twins eked out a 5-4 victory over the Los Angeles Angels. The winning pitcher was Cott, the losing pitcher, Fowler. In a day game at Boston, the Baltimore Orioles defeated the Boston Red Sox 7-4 as Barber pitched the victory. Bon Boquet was the loser. Cleveland playing in Washington, and they trail the Senators after 5 innings of play, 3-1, with Allen in for the Cleveland Indians right now against Cheney. In a night game, it will be Chicago at Kansas City. The starting pitcher is Holland against Wyatt. New York and Detroit were not scheduled. Correction on the record of Bob Shaw, who pitched for the Chicago White Sox in Kansas City in the American League, is now 8-2. I think I called it 9-2. Well, we're all set to go on a very good night for baseball here in Houston. This is the final game of the series. The Mets will be in New York in the Polo Grounds tomorrow for a night game against the Chicago Cubs, a 4-game series. A night game Friday night, a day game on Saturday, and a doubleheader on Sunday. But now let's get to the action right at hand, and the man to tell you all about it, Lindsey Nelson.
Thanks very much, Ralph Kanner. Richie Ashburn, left-hand batter, stepping in to lead off for the New York Mets. Richie has a season's batting average of .297, and he is facing right-hander Bob Bruce, who has won 4 games and lost only 1 this season for the Houston Colt 45s. Bruce is 28 years old, right-hander, and the first pitch is in there for a called strike. Frank Sicore, the umpire behind the plate, Tony Benson is at first, Paul Pryor at second, and Augie Donatelli is around at third. Coaching at first base, Cookie Lavagetta and Sal Hemus around at third for the Mets. It's a curveball inside. Had him skipping rope, and it's 1-1. A lifetime Major League mark, pitcher Bob Bruce, 9 victories and 11 losses. As the pitch coming inside for ball, it's 2-1. Last season, Bruce, with the Detroit Tigers, won 1 and lost 2, and with Denver, he won 2 and lost none. This is his 8th start of this season and his 12th appearance for the Houston Colt 45. Swinging a ground ball to third. It is taken there by Aspromonte. Fires out to Larker in time, and he's out. So Ashburn has grounded out Bob Aspromonte to Norm Larker, third to first. There is one away, and shortstop Elio Chacon is coming up. Chacon with a season's batting average of
.253. At bat, number 7, Elio Chacon.
This is the wind-up game of the current series. After tonight's game, the Houston Colt 45 go to the West Coast. The Mets, of course, return home to New York. As a curveball in there for a call, strike 1. Elio Chacon, batting number 2 in the batting order of manager Casey Stengel. Waits for the pitch. It's on the way. Curveball bunted off foul. 0-2. Eliel Chacon again, as he has done so very often of late, trying to push the ball down the first baseline, beat it out. Instead, he fouled it off, and it's 0-2. Chacon has been getting a considerable play in the Houston newspapers during the stay of the New York Mets here in town, pertaining to his defensive play at shortstop for the Mets. Here's an 0-2 pitch. Missing outside for ball. It's 1-2. Last night's game schedule between those two teams postponed because of rain. A heavy rainstorm coming in the late afternoon and continuing for some time. Here's a swing and a miss. He struck him out. So Elio Chacon becomes strikeout victim number one for Bob Bruce. Two away, nobody on for the Mets. And Cliff Cook, the third baseman, is coming up. Right-hand batter. Bruce is set to work, and here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. It's strike one to Cliff Cook. Bob Bruce out there has completed his last two games, allowing one run and seven hits in each game. He defeated the Milwaukee Braves 7-1, and Bob Bruce was the man pitching today last Saturday when the Dodgers were defeated by the Houston Colts 13-1. Is low and away, and it rolls on back a few feet. 1-1 to count to Cliff Cook. Bob Bruce was obtained from the Detroit Tigers this past winter, along with pitcher Manuel Montero for Sad Sam Jones. Montero and Bruce to the Colts, and Jones to the Detroit Tigers. Pitch missing high for ball. It's 2-1. Frank Thomas kneeling in the on-deck circle for the New York Mets, batting here in the top half of the first inning at Colt Stadium in Houston. That pitch is in there for a call strike. It's 2-2. Defensively around the infield, the Houston Colt 45s have Norm Larker at first, Joey Amalfitano at second, Bob Lillis at short, and Bob Espermonte at third. Al Spangler in left, Carl Warwick in center, and Jim Pendleton in right. Swing and a miss, and change up, and Cliff Cook becomes strikeout victim number two, and the New York Mets are out in the top half of the first inning with no runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of one half inning of play, the score is the New York Mets nothing, and the Houston Colt 45s coming up nothing. Say, fans, wouldn't it be wonderful if all through tonight's game, each cigarette you smoked tasted cleaner, fresher, actually cooler than the one before? Well, it can happen, and here's how. Listen.
Your cigarette's not tasting cool enough unless you're smoking Cool. You're not smoking cool enough till you come up to Cool.
Cool's menthol magic brightens taste,
refreshing all day through. Feel extra coolness in your throat as Cool comes through for you. Your cigarette's not tasting cool enough unless you're smoking Cool. You're not smoking cool, cool, cool enough till you come up to Cool.
Come up to Cool. Feel extra coolness in your throat. Smoke Cool Filter Kings or Cool without filter. Going to the bottom half of the first inning, and the Houston Colt 45s will send up Al Spangler, Joey Amalfitano, and Jim Pendleton. And on the mound tonight for the New York Mets is Jay Hook, who has a season's record of 4 victories and 6 losses. He, of course, achieved the first Met victory ever for the victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates early in the season. Hook is making his 13th start and his 15th appearance of the year.
Al Spangler.
Colt lost to Houston by, Hook lost to Houston by a score of 3-2 on May 22nd. He pitched 8 innings and gave up 7 hits and 3 runs. Now the pitch to Spangler. And it's in there for a call, strike one. Al Spangler, left-hand batter with good speed. Swinging a foul ball off to the left side. This is out of play. It's into the stands. Cliff Cook gave it a run, and so did catcher Sammy Taylor. This one landed in the uncovered stands. here in Colt Stadium, which is tagged a temporary stadium. No balls and two strikes to count. Pitched him tight, and it's 1-2. Defensively, the New York Mets have Marv Thornberry at first, Charlie Neal at second, Elio Chacon at short, and Cliff Cook at third. Frank Thomas in left, Richie Ashburn in center, and Jim Hickman in right. Here's a swing and a foul ball down the left field line. It's curving and going into the stands and out of play. 1-2. It's Boy Scout night, and it's ladies' night here at Colt Stadium. The 1-2 pitch, high and away for ball. It's 2-2. Spangler has a season batting average of 272 with the Houston Colt 45s. That includes two home runs and 12 runs batted in. Here's a swing and a drive, belted down the right field line, foul ball. Harry Cheedy down in the bullpen of the New York Mets, up and skipping rope to get out of the way of that. Line shot, full foul down the right field line. So Al Spangler, during this appearance at the plate, has sprayed them all around. Here's a 2-2 pitch. Swung on, and a ground ball. And it's taken by Thornberry. He'll have to play the hook covering. He fires it. He takes it, first base. Ball rolling up in front of the dugout, and Sammy Taylor comes over to retrieve it. Thornberry had to fire the ball in an attempt to get the speedy Spangler, and Jay Hook coming across with only a step in front of him. The ball hit his glove and rebounded on over in front of the dugout, so Spangler is safe at first base. The ball was retrieved by catcher Sammy Taylor, who is hustling down the line at first to back up the throw at first base. So the first man up is on for the Colt 45s, and Joey Amalfitano, right-hand batter, is up. With nobody out, Amalfitano with a season's batting average of 210. That is scored as an error. That is scored as an error. Now Spangler takes his lead at first base, and the pitch comes in high to Joey Amalfitano. He turns and takes a look down at Lum Harris, who is coaching at third. Jimmy Adair is coaching at first for the Houston Colt 45s, who are, of course, managed by Harry Kraft. Amalfitano was the hero of the Colt victory night before last in the bottom half of the ninth. The throw over to first is not in time when he delivered the game-winning single out into left field. Now time is called as Amalfitano has moved back out of the batter's box. He steps back in. Hook is into the stretch. Here's the pitch, it's high for ball. The official scorer on Spangler's play has given an error to Jay Hook. Thornberry fielded the ball, threw on to Hook. The ball hit his glove, and he could not retain possession, running at full speed. And the official scorer says, error on the pitcher, Jay Hook. The count is two balls and no strikes now to Joey Amalfitano at the plate with Jim Pendleton on deck. There's a throw over to first, not in time. Spangler getting back safely. Al Spangler with lots of speed. Jay Hook now is into the stretch. He checks the runner. He is running, and here's a swing and a foul ball back onto the screen, and that will bring him back. So on a 2-0 pitch, they had Spangler going on the pitch. It is now 2-1. Again, Hook is into the stretch position as Spangler leads at first base. Pitch to Amalfitano. He checks and takes high for ball three. It's 3-1. Elio Chacon, there at shortstop for the New York Mets, has handled his last 88 chances without an error. New York Mets and the Houston Colt 45s, the two newest teams in the National League, have battled just about as closely as two teams can battle in the season series thus far. Here's a swing and a ground ball. It is going on through into center field for a base hit. Spangler turns second. He heads for third. Ashton Crowe is going to third, and he slides in. He is safe at third base. Spangler going from first to third Richie Ashburn's throw was on the money as Cliff Cook took it there. But Spangler slid in safely at third. Amalfitana on to the ground single at first. Runners at first and third, nobody out. Jim Pendleton is coming up for the Colt 45. Pendleton with a season's batting average of 262, including five home runs. He bats number three in the batting order for manager Harry Kraft. In the first game played this season between these two teams in New York at the Polo Grounds, the game went 11 innings, and Houston won it by a score of 5-2 on a three-run homer by Don Button in the 11th inning. Then they played two games here in Houston after that, both won by the Colt 45s by identical scores, 3-2. In this series, the New York Mets won 3-1, and then Houston won 3-2. Here's a swing and a ground ball left in the middle for a base hit. Spangler is coming on to score. Amalfitana turns second, the ball gets by Ashburn. Amalfitana goes on to third, and speeding to second is Jim Pendleton. Runners at second and third. A ground single up the middle, got away from Richie Ashburn. Amalfitana had stopped and seeing the ball get away, he came on, so it scored as a hit and an error. Scored as a base hit, of course, for Jim Pendleton, and then an error on Richie Ashburn for allowing the runners to advance. There is a run batted in as Spangler scored from third on the base hit. Off the bat of Jim Pendleton, so that the Houston Colts 45s are out in front here in the bottom half of the first inning by a score of 1-0. Nobody out. They have runners at second and third, and cleanup man Norm Larker is at the plate. He's a left-hand batter. Larker has a batting average of 282, four home runs, 24 runs batted in. That pitch is in there for a call strike. Larker had a 12-game consecutive batting streak going. That ended night before last when he went hitless in the second game of this series. Selected, of course, by the Houston Colt 45s off the roster of the Los Angeles Dodgers in the expansion draft. Jay Hook with the pitch, misses outside for ball. It's 1-1. Jay Hook and Bob Bruce were scheduled to have pitched last night's game, which was rained out, so both managers decided to go with the pitchers that they had nominated for last night. Hook and Bruce. For the Mets, Roger Craig was scheduled to pitch tonight if last night's game had been played. So he's next up in the rotation. Here's a swing and a ground ball. It's going through to right field for a base hit. Amalfitana has come on to score. Pendleton turns third. He's coming on a throw to the plate, and he scores. The ball rolls a foot or two away from Taylor, but Cliff Cook comes down the line to field it to hold Norm Larker at first base. So the single to right on the ground has scored two runs, and the Colt 45s lead by a score of 3-0. Still nobody out. Two runs batted in there for Norm Larker. As Carl Warwick, the right-hand batter, is coming up. Marv Thornberry went to his right that time to try to make a backhanded stab of the ball. Couldn't get to it. It went on through. Jay Hook is up into a stretch position now. Larker leading off the bag at first base. And here's the pitch to Warwick. Swing and a miss. It's strike one. And down in the bullpen of the New York Mets, Vinegar Ben Mizell starts to loosen up. Vinegar Ben Mizell loosening up in the bullpen of the Mets. Pitch is low and away for a ball. One ball and one strike to count to Carl Warwick. There's a swing and a foul ball. Back onto the screen and out of play. Red Kress is running the bullpen of the New York Mets tonight. Red Kress on the coaching staff running the bullpen. Red Ruffing has gone to Cleveland for the graduation of his son. Pitches outside for ball. It's 2-2. Don Larker takes his lead at first base. Here's the 2-2 pitch. It's low and inside, so the count is out full. 3-2 now to Carl Warwick. The runner on first and nobody out. And the Colts are leading by a score of 3-0 here in the bottom half of the first inning. This is the wind-up game of the current series, and the Mets next come to Houston in September. Here's a throw to first. It's not in time. As Norm Larker gets back safely. Three, two, pitch, swung on. It's a fly ball deep to left center field. It is going deep, deep, and this one is gone for a home run. A home run for Carl Warwick out in left center field. Norm Larker scores ahead of him, and here comes Warwick on around with his fifth home run of the season. A two-run homer for Warwick, and the Houston Colts 45s lead by a score of 5-0 with nobody out and nobody on in the bottom half of the first inning. That will bring up Merritt Renew. Mizell continues to throw in the bullpen of the New York Mets. Merritt Renew is a left-hand batter. He has stepped in and taken over behind the plate for the Houston Colts 45. Here's the pitch. It's in there for a call strike. Renew is hitting 254. That includes two home runs. He was selected by the Colt 45s off the roster of the Braves. They had him in Louisville last season. The pitch is outside for ball. It's 1-1. Renew has taken over to the extent that Hal Smith has been seeing very little service of late for the Colt 45s. That pitch misses outside for ball. It's 2-1. Nobody on base now. Here's a swing and a drive going up the middle for a base hit. Richie Ashburn coming over, scoops it up, relays it in, turning and holding at first base is Renew, and Casey Stengel is on the way to the mound. Al Spangler opened up the ball game, getting on an error, and then the Houston Colt 45s have put together five consecutive hits. And they're going to the bullpen to bring in Finnegan Ben Mizell. Mizell, of course, is very well known here in Houston. In 1951, he was a big winner for the Houston Buffs, pitched them to the pennant in the Texas League and then to a Dixie Series championship as well. He won 16 games in the regular season that year. And one night they had a Finnegan Ben Mizell night here in 1951, and they brought over practically all the residents of Finnegan Ben, Alabama. It was said that they only left the night watchman. And so he is very well known, and when he is announced here, likely we'll get an acknowledgement from the fans. Mizell has walked in now, and here's the announcement. Jay Hook has left the mound and walked on to the dugout. Now here's the announcement of Mizell. And you hear a few O's and ahs from people around the stands who remember Mizell here in Houston. Long, lanky left-hander. The Houston Colt 45s have five runs in here. And the bottom half of the first in, and they have Merritt Renew on at first base, and there's nobody out. The New York Mets will leave here tomorrow morning, fly back to New York, and tomorrow night at 8 p.m. they will meet the Chicago Cubs at the Polo Grounds. Game time is 8 p.m. And, of course, the Chicago Cubs will be bringing in Ernie Banks twice, the most valuable player in the National League, and Billy Williams, who is right up there in the National League batting race right now, and George Altman, who was on the All-Star squad of the National League last season, and Ron Santo, who was the sophomore of the year last year. And a couple of fine rookies, Lou Brock and Kenny Hubbs. You'll want to see them all at the Polo Grounds. And 8 o'clock tomorrow night is game time. And then Ladies' Day and Camera Day on Saturday afternoon. And then a doubleheader, Father's Day, on Sunday. So if you're looking for something to do for Dad, bring him out to the Polo Grounds on Sunday afternoon for the big doubleheader between the New York Mets and the Chicago Cubs. Now Bob Aspromonte, batting number 7 in the batting order, comes up. He's a right-hand batter to face Mizell. Wilmer Mizell into the stretch now. Renew leads at first base, and the pitch to the plate is high for ball one. Aspromonte has a season's batting average of 262. The batting average is a flash on the scoreboard here. And they are kept up progressively throughout the ballgame and flashed up each time a batter comes up. That is done at a number of Major League ballparks now. Here's a pitch high for ball. It's 2-0. Still nobody out for the Colt 45. Center field, Richie Ashburn racing over. Jim Hickman is over, and Ashburn hauls it down for the out. Turns and fires it in as Renew halfway on the fly ball to right center. Returns to the bag at first. No advance. One away on the long fly ball to right center field. And coming up will be shortstop Bob Lillis. Lillis with a season's batting average of 220. He seems to have taken over the shortstop position. Don Button, of course, was in there at the start of the season. The Houston Colt 45s had selected Ed Brissou off the roster of the San Francisco Giants and then traded him to the Red Sox for Button, but Lillis seems to have taken over in place of Button at shortstop. Lillis is a right-hand batter. As pitch coming in high for ball one. The Milwaukee Braves will be coming into the Polo Grounds on Monday night. The host of ball players, very well known, of course. New Yorkers, Warren Spahn, Lou Burdett, Eddie Matthews, Henry Aaron. Pitch is high for ball. It's 2-0. Five runs in the bottom half of the first inning for the Houston Colt 45. Mizell looking in for a sign from Sammy Taylor. He has it now into the stretch, and Renew leads it first. The pitch tight for ball. It's 3-0. Three balls and no strikes to count. Here's the pitch. And it's in there for a call, strike one. Bob Lillis taking on 3-0. It's up 3-1 now. This game was preceded by a two-inning press radio game played here. We do not have the injury report as yet, but it should be rather lengthy by morning, I should think. Here's a 3-1 pitch. Hi, ball four, he walked him. And right now, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, 810 on your dial, where the time now is 10:30 and the temperature is 60 degrees.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner at Colt Stadium in Houston, Texas, where the Colts are batting in the bottom half of the first inning, and they are bringing up pitcher Bob Bruce now. The runners at first and second, one man out. Bruce up for his first time in the ballgame. Bruce has been up 19 times this season and has four base hits. He's batted in three runs. As that bat cocked, as Mizell brings the pitch in, it's swung on and has a fly ball to the right. Jim Hickman racing over near the line. Still coming, crosses the line in foul territory. Can't get to it. It's out of play. Ball hitting over in the bullpen area of the New York Mets, located down the right field line here at Kohl Stadium. Jim Hickman gave it the long run, but the opposite field foul fly kept curving away from him. So it is a strike one count. The Colt 45s after tonight's game fly to the West Coast. And, of course, they go from the West Coast back to New York to meet the New York Mets on this next homestand. So it will literally be a coast-to-coast junket for the Houston Colt 45s. Swinging a ground ball to shortstop, taken by Chacon. He's going to first base, and he's out at first. Runners advancing. Merritt Renew going to third, and Bob Lillis to second. On the ground ball to Elio Chacon at short. Only play that Elio had. They're coming up for the second time in this inning now is leadoff man Al Spangler, with two men out and runners at second and third. Spangler started the ball game for the Colt 45s with a ground ball to Marv Thornberry. At first base, he had to play it to Jay Hook covering, and the ball was off the glove of Hook for an error at first base, and the Colts went on and have scored five runs up to right now at Mizell. Works for the windup, and the pitch to Spangler. Goes outside for ball one. Houston 5, the Mets nothing. Ken Mizell into the big windup, and the pitch. Fastball outside. It's 2-0. Mizell looking in, has a sign now, checks, and here's the pitch. Swung on, as a drive, going out of the right field. It's going to drop in for a base hit. Renew comes on to score. Lillis has turned third, the third of the plate, and he is safe at the plate. He is safe at the plate, sliding in. As Hickman's throw is a little off the line, Sammy Taylor went over to his right, grabbed the ball and tried to lunge back over in time, but he was not in time. Holding it first is Spangler, with a single right and two runs batted in, and the Colts lead by a score of 7-0. One of those runs charged to Jay Hook and one to Vinegar Ben Mizell. Two runs batted in on the base hit for Spangler. Still two men out, and Joey Amalfitano is at the plate. Amalfitano had the first hit of the ball game for the Colt 45. Up for his second time here in the bottom half of the first inning. It's in there for a call strike to Amalfitano. Draft count, I told you, the Pittsburgh Pirates defeated the Chicago Cubs by a score of 6-3 this afternoon in National League play. There's a throw to first base. It is not in time. And Al Spangler is back safely. And this afternoon, the Milwaukee Braves defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers by a score of 7-2. There's a pitch coming in Hathaway, and it's 1-1. On the homestand of the Mets opening up tomorrow night, they will meet consecutively the Chicago Cubs, the Milwaukee Braves, and the Houston Colt 45. Mizell into the big stretch now. Spangler leads at first base, and the pitch. It's in there for a called strike to Amalfitano. It's one ball and two strikes now to him. With two men out for the Colt 45. Okay. Spangler leads off the baggage first. Thornberry holding him on there. The pitch to the plate. He's running. There's a swing and a foul ball. It's going all the way out to shortstop, but it's off the ankle of Amalfitano as he stood there in the batter's box. And the ball then ricocheted on the ground all the way out toward Elio Chacon, the short who hustled in the field the ball. But umpire Frank Sicori behind the plate says foul ball, and it's 1-2 to Amalfitano. Big Jim Pendleton kneeling in the on-deck circle for the Colt 45. Mizell getting a sign from Sammy Taylor. He's into the stretch as Spangler leads again. Here is a throw over. Not in time. A leisurely throw over. Counts 2-2 to Joey Amalfitano at the plate. General manager Paul Richards of the Colt 45 has not been in evidence during this series. He's in at Omaha at the college playoff. Here's a swing and a ground ball to Mizell. Knocks it down, picks it up, throws to first in time, and he's out to retire the side. So Amalfitano has grounded out from pitcher to first, and in the bottom half of the first inning, the Houston Colt 45 got 7 runs on 6 hits. There was one error and one man left. So at the end of one full inning of play in Houston, Texas, the score is the Houston Colt 45 7 and the New York Mets nothing. If you're marking dates on your baseball calendar, mark the date of July 14th. That is Old Timers Day at the Polo Grounds, and the theme of the Old Timers Day this year is going to be the 1951 playoffs between the New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Jackie Robinson's going to be on hand, so is Jim Hearn, Bobby Thompson, and Ralph Branker. Of course, the game that day is the Dodgers and the Mets, and so Duke Snider will be there, Leo DeRocher, Gil Hodges. A big day, July 14th. Mark that one down at the Polo Grounds. Now to bring us up to date on scores of Major League games today, here is Ralph Kiner.
Milwaukee defeated the Dodgers 7-1 as Bob Shaw went all the way to win his 8th victory. He has lost 2. The losing pitcher was Williams. Pittsburgh over the Chicago Cubs 6-3 as Bob Friend, even his record up at 7-7. Ellsworth the losing pitcher. The Cincinnati Reds way out in front of the San Francisco Giants through 8 innings. They lead it now 8-0 as Joey J works on the shutout. Pierce, the starter, is out of there. Miller is now in for the Giants. Philadelphia and St. Louis not scheduled. That brings you up to date in the National League.
All right, Ralph, thank you very much. And here is Frank Thomas up to lead off. And the pitch is outside for ball. Bob Bruce pitching for the Houston Colt 45s, and they have staked him to a 7-run lead. That pitch is in there for a call strike to Thomas. Minnesota Twins this afternoon defeated the Los Angeles Angels 5-4, and since the Yankees were idle, not scheduled, the Minnesota Twins are on top in the American League. Cott was the winner, and Fowler was the loser. There's a swing and a pop to short left. Shortstop Bob Lillis is back underneath waiting, and Bob Lillis makes the catch for the out as Thomas has popped to short. Bo Belinsky incidentally started that ball game this afternoon for the Los Angeles Angels. Baltimore Orioles defeated the Boston Red Sox by score 7-4 as Barber was the winner and Mal Marquette was the loser. Here's Marv Thornberry at the plate for the New York Mets, left-hand batter. Which is in there for a called strike. The end of 7 innings of play, the Washington Senators lead the Cleveland Indians tonight by a score of 3-1. Here's a pitch that is coming in high. It's 1-1. Tonight, at the end of 1 inning of play, Chicago White Sox 1, the Kansas City A's 1. That's Harlan against Wyatt. The Yanks and the Detroit Tigers, not scheduled. Left-hand batter. Pitch is in there for a called strike. The end of 7 innings of play, the Washington Senators lead the Cleveland Indians tonight by a score of 3-1. Here's the fifth start. It's coming in high. It's 1-1. Tonight, at the end of one inning of play, Chicago White Sox 1, the Kansas City A's 1. That's Harlan against Wyatt. The Yanks and the Detroit Tigers, not scheduled. That pitch is high. Rocked him back. It's 2-1 now to Marv Thornberry. Gil Hodges is still troubled by the leg that has troubled him since spring training. As the pitch coming inside to Thornberry, it's 3-1. Charlie Neal's there in the on-deck circle for the Mets. Bob Bruce with a 3-1 pitch has a swing and a drive going deep to right field. If it stays fair, it's going deep, deep. And this one is going for a home run for Marv Thornberry. For Thornberry, his first home run. And that is the first home run hit into the right field stands at Kohl's Stadium ever by the opposition. The first home run ever hit into the right field stands here by an opposing team. And, of course, they've been in here. The Giants, the Dodgers, all of them have had a crack at it. But Marv Thornberry has become the first man on an opposing team to hit one out there. Merritt Renew has hit two out there for the Colts, and Spangler has hit one. So this actually is the fourth home run ever into those right field stands. Measures 360 to the foul pole right down the right field line. Here's a pitch to Charlie Neal. And it's in high for ball one. So it is 7-1 on Marv Thornberry's distance clout. That's the kind of a clout for which he became famous at Denver and later with the Yankees. Here's a swing and a drive out in the left center field. And it's going to be in there for Charlie Neal. He rounds first and takes a long turn and holds up as Carl Warwick comes up with the ball and fires it back in. Had a good chance to be an in-betweener, but Carl Warwick hustled over to backhand it and fired on back in. Charlie Neal with a single to left center field. And the Mets have a runner at first. One man out, one run in, and Sammy Taylor coming up. He's a left-hand batter.
Number 16, Sammy Taylor.
Marv Thornberry was saying just a few days ago that he felt that he was just about to get around to the point where he could clout that ball for some distance. He felt that pitches were way ahead of him when he was traded over to the Mets from Baltimore. Pitches in there for a call strike to Taylor. He had not played a great deal and been coming on since. And Thornberry got a hold of that one and rode it a great distance. Bruce is into the stretch. Neal leads and has let up pitch going high. It's 1-1. Jim Hickman swinging the bats in the on-deck circle for the New York Mets. Has a pitch coming inside for ball. It's 2-1. Last Sunday, the Colts had their biggest attendance ever. Paid attendance was 30,027. The biggest crowd to see them play. Pitch is low for ball. It's 3-1. It was not the biggest crowd ever to see a baseball game in Texas because back some 12 or 13 years ago, big promotion was staged on opening day of the Texas League and a game was played in the Cotton Bowl with a number of old-timers participating in the ball game, and it drew something like 50,000. At the Cotton Bowl. Tris Speaker was in the ball game, and Ty Cobb, Charlie Grimm was managing the Dallas club at the time. Here's a pitch high and away for a ball, and he walked it. So Sammy Taylor goes down to first base with a base on balls. That moves Charlie Neal up to second. With one away now, Jim Hickman's coming up.
Number 9, Jim Hickman.
Here's Jim Hickman with a season's batting average of 266. That includes 7 home runs. Up here with 2 men on and 1 man out for the Mets. Batting in the top half of the second inning. Score is 7-1. The Houston Gold 45s leading. Now Bob Moore heads up and throwing in the bullpen for the New York Mets. Pitch is low for a ball. With pitcher Wilmer Mizell due up next. Bob Moorhead is up and throwing in the bullpen, a right-hander for the New York Mets. And the Colt 45s have Hal Woodeschick up and throwing in the bullpen, a left-hander, Hal Woodeschick. The name President Kennedy had a little trouble spelling last year. On opening day, he was going to autograph the ball to him and said, "How do you spell Woodeschick?" Swinging a ground ball down towards third. Astromani steps on third for the force, throws on to first in time. He got him for a double play. So Hickman has hit into a double play that went from Astromani to Norm Larker. And in the top half of the second inning, the Mets are out with one run on two hits, no errors and one left. The end of an inning and a half in Houston. The score is the Colt 45-7 and the New York Mets 1. We're going now to the bottom half of the second inning, and the Colt 45s will send up Jim Pendleton, Norm Larker, and Carl Warwick. Benninger Ben Mizell on the mound for the New York Mets. Dips into the big windup, and here's the pitch to the right-hand batter. It's high for ball one. Pendleton had a single and a run batted in the bottom half of the first inning. Again, Mizell is set to work. As a swing and a fly ball out into short center field. Ashburn coming on. Chacon going on. Ashburn has called, moves in underneath and hauls it down to the out. So Pendleton has flied out to Ashburn in center, one away. And Norm Larker's coming up. He had a single and two runs batted in the bottom half of the first inning. Larker now hitting 286. His best major league season at bat was year before last when he hit 323. And he battled Dick Groat right down to the last day of the season. Groat won the National League Batting Championship for the mark of 325. Last year, of course, Groat fell off 50 points to 275, but he's back up there again this year. There's a pitch in there for a called strike to Norm Larker. She's outside for ball. It's 1-1. Mizell getting a sign from Sammy Taylor. A wind up. Pitch is in there for a called strike. The makers of Cool Cigarettes are pleased to send 1,000 Cools to the Veterans Hospital in Northampton, Massachusetts on the occasion of Marv Thornberry's home run. Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation, of course, sends cigarettes to the Veterans Hospital for home runs, double plays, triple plays, and such. Here's a pitch outside for a ball. It's 2-2. So 1,000 Cools go to the Veterans Hospital in Northampton, Massachusetts. Time is called here for the moment as Larker steps out of the batter's box and umpire Frank Sicori is going to ask to see the ball. Here's a final score. The Cincinnati Reds have shut out the San Francisco Giants. Last night, Bob Perkey shut out the Giants, and tonight, Joey Jay went all the way and shut him out, and now Joey Jay has won 9 games and lost 6. Billy Pierce was the loser and the starter. Set to play again. Here's a swing, and a pop out towards shortstop. Helio Chacon is underneath waiting, and Larker is out. Two away, nobody on, and Carl Warwick's coming up. So Joey Jay shut the San Francisco Giants out, holding them to 3 hits tonight for his 9th victory. Last night, Perkey also threw a 3-hitter at the Giants for his 11th victory. Waits for the out and missed for strike one. He had a two-run homer in the bottom half of the first inning. Carl Warwick, a man that the Houston Colt 45s wanted very badly. And when they got him from the St. Louis Cardinals, they installed him out there in center field. In order to get him, they had to give up one of the first Colt heroes, pitcher Bobby Shantz, who went in the deal to the St. Louis Cardinals. The fastball fired high. It's 1-1. The Houston Colt 45-7 and the New York Mets 1. With the Colts batting in the bottom half of the second inning. Here's a swing and a drive going deep to left field. Frank Thomas is ranging back. He's underneath, and Thomas hauls it down for the out. That retires the side. Fly ball deep to left, but Mizell got the Colt 45s out in order in the bottom half of the second inning with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of two complete innings of play in Houston, Texas, the score is the Houston Colt 45-7 and the New York Mets 1. For the New York Mets, coming up in the top half of the third inning, Wilmer Mizell. Bats right. The pitch has been in there for a call, strike one. Bob Bruce, with a season's record of 4 victories and 1 loss, the pitcher for the Colt 45. Swing and a ground ball. At shortstop, it's taken by Bob Lillis. He's up for the throws on to first in time. Mizell has grounded out. Lillis to Larker. One away, nobody on, and that will bring up the leadoff man in the batting order of the New York Mets, Richie Ashford. He's been up one time, and he grounded out third to first. Of the New York Mets' last 38 ball games, 20 have been decided by one run. Amazing record. Of the last 38 games, 20 of them decided by one run. Pitch is low for a ball. 1-0, the count to Richie Ashburn. Fastball got in there. But we thought it was in there. The light on the scoreboard goes up 2-0. Now it straightens out. 1-1. One ball and one strike. This one has him skipping rope, comes into the dirt, and comes all the way back. So it's two balls and one strike now to Richie Ashburn. Two-one pitch. A little tight, and it's 3-1 now to the leadoff man of the New York Mets. Well, the New York Mets have established in the one-third of the season roughly that's been played thus far that they are a team that keeps right on battling no matter what. They hang in there, as you have seen in this season. Here's a pitch in there for a call strike. It's 3-2. There have been, down through the years, some fine baseball teams that seemed to die once they got behind in ball games. The Mets have established the character of the team as one that hangs in there all the way. And here's a call, strike three to Richie Ashburn. That is the second strikeout for Bruce. Two away, nobody on for the Mets. And Ashburn is arguing the point with umpire Frank Sicori at the plate. Ashburn is still there arguing the point with Sicori. Sicori takes off the mask now. Richie Ashburn still, as he starts back over the dugout. Now he turns and says something else to Sicori. Sicori takes a step over toward Ashburn, and he still is arguing the point, turning as he goes on over toward the dugout with the bat. Richie disputing the call. That is strikeout number three, actually, for Bruce. Struck out two in the first inning. So with two men out, nobody on, Elio Chacon is coming up. Bob Bruce with the pitch. And it's in there for a call strike to Elio Chacon. Elio has 5 doubles this season. He's batted in 14 runs. Pitch is low for ball. It's 1-1. Manager Casey Stengel these days has Cliff Cook in the lineup at third base. And Chacon at short, of course, and he's keeping Felix Mantilla on the bench for pinch hitting duty. when required. Chacon tries to punt the ball, misses, and it's a strike. 1-2. Cliff Cook is kneeling there in the on-deck circle now for the New York Mets. Pitch misses outside for ball. It's 2-2. With two men out and nobody on base, and the Houston Colt 45s leading the Mets by a score of 7-1. Pitch is outside. It's full, 3-2 now to Chacon. It's a hot, muggy night in Houston, Texas. There seemed to be, late this afternoon and early this evening, some threat of rain. However, none is apparent at the moment. Here's a payoff pitch. Swung on and foul. Pulled over, hopping across the dugout of the Houston Colt 45s and into the stands. The umpires in the press radio game played prior to this game tonight were Solly Hemus, Bobby Bragan, and Cookie Lavigetto. And Lumen Harris was the umpire behind the plate. Here's a swing and a drive in the left field for a base hit. Elio Chacon turning it first. And holds there with a sharp single on a 3-2 pitch into left field. And coming up is Cliff Cook.
At bat, number 6, Cliff.
Cook is nothing for one tonight. Big right-hand batter with good power at the plate. Chacon leads it first. And the pitch is in there for a call strike. Cliff Cook is the kind of ball player who bears watching, of course, in the development stage, because he has certainly shown during his career that he can hit with power. So now it must be found out if he can hit for an average, if he can feel the position well enough. Swinging a foul ball off the end of the batter, Cliff Cook, and it's a strike 2 count. A ball player of this kind can develop into a tremendous potential. Out a runner at first. Nothing in 2 of the count to Cliff Cook, as Bob Bruce is looking in for a sign from Merritt Renew, his battery mate. There's a pitch missing outside for ball. Big Frank Thomas kneeling in the on-deck circle for the New York Mets. Houston Colts 7, the New York Mets 1 in the top half of the third inning. As the pitch swung on, there's a high fly ball into center field. Carl Warwick comes in and calls. Warwick is waiting, and he takes it for the out. Cook with a high fly ball to center, and in the top of the third, the Mets are out. With no runs on one hit, no errors, and one left. And at the end of 2.5 innings of play in Houston, Texas, the score is Colt 45-7 and the New York Mets 1. Right now, we're going to the bottom half of the third inning, and in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, where you can hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball, for the best in music, for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at Colt Stadium in Houston, Texas. As we go to the bottom half of the third inning, and the Colt 45s will send up Merritt Renew, Bob Aspromonte, and Bob Lillis. Renew has been up one time, had a base hit, and scored one run. He is a left-hand batter. Venega Ben Mizell, the pitcher for the New York Mets, working in relief of Jay Hook. And this one goes low and away for ball one. Tomorrow night, we'll be on the air, radio, and television from the Polo Grounds in New York, 7:55. Game time is 8 p.m. tomorrow night, the Cubs and the Mets. As a pitch low for ball, it's 2-0. swinging a ground ball to Charlie Neal at second. He has it on a big happy place to Thornberry, and Merritt Renew has grounded out second to first. One away, and Bob Aspromonte is coming up now. Been up one time, and he plowed out to center field. Right-hand batter. That's number 7 in the batting order for manager Harry Kraft. Mizell goes into the big windup. And the pitch, fastball in there for a call, strike one. This is the rubber game of these of this series. Two previous games have been split. New York Mets came in here after having taken a series from the Chicago Cubs. Won 3 of 5 there. Pitch is low for ball. It's 1-1 to Bob Aspromonte. In case you have joined us along the way, Jay Hook was the starting pitcher for the New York Mets. He faced 6 batters, gave up 6 runs on 5 hits, struck out 9 and walked 9. There's a swing and a fly ball going out into center field. Richie Ashburn moves underneath, waiting, and Ashburn hauls it down for the out. 2 away, nobody on, and shortstop Bob Lillis is coming up. Lillis has been up one time, and he drew a walk. And he later scored. Lillis is a right-hand batter. Came to the Colt 45s from the St. Louis Cardinals. He had come to the Cardinals from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Pitch is in there for a call strike. Cliff Cook in on the edge of the grass. Playing Lillis, right-hand batter. He's swinging a foul ball, coming back into the stands. 2-strike count. Manager Casey Stengel of the New York Mets threw out the first ball for the press radio game played here tonight. The pitch swung on. A ground ball to Charlie Neal at second. He is up with it. Plays to Thornberry at first, and Lillis grounds out second to first to retire the third as Mizell for the second consecutive inning. Gets the Houston Colt 45s out of there in order with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of 3 full innings of play in Houston, Texas, the score is the Colt 45-7 and the New York Mets 1.
On the mound for the Houston Colt 45s, Bob Bruce. First pitch to Thomas outside, ball 1. Lindsey Nelson was introduced before the ball game here tonight. Morris Frank was conducting the pregame ceremonies with the radio TV baseball game, and he introduced Lindsey as a potential pinch hitter. Pitch is outside, ball 2. And he said, you all know Lindsey Nelson, of course. He's the fellow who did the game of the week, which was broadcast to many cities, on Saturday and Sunday only. And he said, now he has a steady job, finally, working for the New York Mets. Next pitch to Thomas is outside, ball 3. 3 balls and no strikes. Oh, Lindsey, it's nice to see you working again.
It's nice to be working, Ralph.
3 balls and no strikes as Bob Bruce works to the leadoff man in the top of the 4th inning. And the 3-0 pitch, a strike call. Bruce, a right-hander, has thrown mostly breaking pitches to the New York Mets. He has showed us a very good slow curveball, and he throws a slider along with it, and, of course, has the usual fastball. His record on the season, 4 wins and 1 loss. Now the right-hander to Frank Thomas. And it's a breaking pitch. It's over for strike 2. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Frank, in his only time up tonight, popped up to the shortstop, so he is 0 for 1. And he has now dropped under 300. He's batting .298. Frank had, for a long time, carried a big average up to the plate. Now the full count pitch to Thomas. Slider swung on and fouled back in the screen, so the count will stay at 3 balls and 2 strikes. The on-deck batter is Marth Thornberry. He has scored the only run for the New York Mets. That was a long home run to right field. The first home run hit by a visiting ball player in this ballpark to right field. Houston Colt 45 jumped on Jay Hook for 7 runs in the first inning. They lead it 7-1. Again, the 3-2 pitch to Frank. This one's popped high in the air. The third baseman, Bob Aspermonte, right on the line. Now in foul territory, and he makes the catch. Lou Thomas is down as he leads off here in the top of the fourth. One out, and the batter now, Mark Thornberry. Marv picked up his first home run of the season for the Mets in the second inning. His average now, .241, batting left-handed. And the first pitch to him by the right-hander, curveball down in the dirt, ball one. There have only been 4 home runs hit to the right field stands in this ballpark. The win prevails from right field to left. 2 of them by the catch in the ballgame, Mara Renew. The other by the left fielder, Al Spangler. And, of course, one here by Mark Thornberry. Bruce back to the plate. It's outside. A curveball, ball two. 2 balls and no strikes. Bruce is 28 years of age. He pitched in the Detroit Tiger organization. A 2-0 pitch to Thornberry. A strike called at the knees. 1 strike, 2 balls. 1 out. 7-1 game, Houston. Bruce last year in 61 won 1 and lost 2 for Denver in the American Association. He won 2 and lost none for Detroit. Now back to the plate. A slow curveball that hangs outside, ball 3. 3 balls and 1 strike. Bruce is pitching as though the ball game were tied up. It was the last of the ninth inning. Throwing breaking balls even though he's behind the batters, even though he has a 6-run lead. 3 balls and 1 strike to Thornberry. He takes inside, ball 4. That puts Thornberry on first base. The second walk issued by Bob Bruce and brings up Charlie Neal. Charlie with a base hit. And one time at bat, 1-for-1 in the ballgame. He's been hitting well for the Mets on this road trip. They stand at 4 wins and 5 losses on the trip. Charlie now batting .284 for the year. Playing second base, batting right-handed. Center fielder Carl Warwick, very shallow in center field. The rest of the outfield normal. First pitch to Charlie, curveball outside, ball one. This fellow throws nothing but breaking pitches. He must go to sleep with his arm in a hammock. Bob Bruce back to the plate. There's a fastball hit through the middle in the center field, a base hit. Thornberry at second base holds there as Warwick comes up with the ball and throws it in. So Charlie Neal picks up his second base hit. That's the fourth in the ballgame. He is now 8-for-14 against the Houston Ball Club, so he has certainly done well against them. And the batter now, Sammy Taylor. Mark Thornberry at second base, Charlie Neal at first, and Sammy Taylor, who walked in his only try of the day, in the batter's box. Sammy batting left-handed. One out, 7-1 game, Houston. A curveball, it's inside and low, ball one. Wodashek warming up in the bullpen for the Colt 45s, a left-hander. 1-0 pitch, a curveball topped out near the plate but going foul. So the count now, 1-ball, 1-strike. The 7 runs scored by the Colt 45s in the first inning, 1 short of their high for 1 inning during this season. They scored 8 runs in 1 inning against the Pittsburgh Pirates on June the 9th. Jay Hook, the starting pitcher, who's charged with 6 of the runs. His relief man, Vinegar Ben Mizell, with the other one. 7-1 game. The 1-1 pitch to Sammy Taylor is inside and low, ball two. Slider down below the knees. Dug out by the catcher, Baird Renew. Top of the fourth inning. One out. Bruce back to the plate. A curveball bounced down to the first baseman. Norm Walker takes it, looks at second base. He had no play there, then moves over to make the play at first base unassisted. Moving over to third base, Marv Thronberry. Charlie Neal now at second. Two outs, and the batter is Jim Hickman. Jim hit into a round-the-horn double play in the second inning. Grounding down hard to Aspermonte at third base. Jim batting right-handed. Playing right field. 264 for the year. Hickman has the difficult spot in the batting order, the eighth position. First pitch to him, hit high in the air to shallow center field. Coming in strong is Warwick, going back to second baseman Amalfitano. And now Amalfitano signals and makes the catch to retire the side. So in the inning, the New York Mets, no runs on one hit. There were no errors, one walk, two men left. And the score at the end, a 3 1/2 innings of play. The Houston Colts 45-7, the New York Mets 1. Now time out for a moment's entertainment with a famous group of performers from Rheingold.
The Rheingold Extra Dry, Extra Talented Players present a tale of the old Pompey.
In a cavern in a canyon, excavating for a mine, lived a miner, 49er, and his daughter, Clementine.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You were lost and gone forever. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
Weeks ago, this patient miner sent his daughter out for beer.
Get me Rheingold, Musky Rheingold. It's my favorite brand of beer.
Into town, Clem went a-running to do as Daddy told.
There I met a handsome cowboy. Give him Daddy's Rheingold.
Rheingold's brighter, so refreshing.
And dry, tell you why.
From now on, my beer is Rheingold and my wife is Clementine.
Got a husband and your beer, Paul. Have a glass while it's ice cold.
Half of the fourth inning, the score is 7-1. As Houston comes to bat, they lead it. On the mound for the New York Mets, Vinegar Man Mizell. Here's a final Washington at home over Cleveland 4-3. Winning pitcher was Hamilton in relief. Make that Coutina in relief. The losing pitcher was Bell also in relief. So Cleveland slipping behind the Yankees now, another half game. There's a pitch to Bob Bruce. It's a slider over the knee, strike one. Mizell came in the ball game in the first inning with no one out. He has given up one run on one hit. One strike pitch, a slow curveball that hangs outside. One ball, one strike. The Yankees at the start of play today with a small percentage point lead over the Minnesota Twins. Actually, in games behind, they're all even. There's a pitch outside by Mizell. Ball two. Two balls and one strike. Bruce 0 for 1 in the ballgame. Bats right-handed. He'll be followed by Al Spangler, then Joe Malfitano. Now the big left-hander to his opposing pitcher. Fastball through. Strike two. Marv Thronberry at first base, Charlie Neal at second. The shortstop, Elio Chacon, Cliff Cook, the third baseman. Mizell back to the plate. This one swung on and fouled back in the screen. So the count will stay at two balls and two strikes with no one out here in the bottom half of the fourth. 45-7. New York Mets won. Mets will return to the Polo Grounds tomorrow night against the Chicago Cubs. Cubs got some pretty good young talent on their ball club, except they can't win. They lost to Pittsburgh today. 2-2 pitch. This one is swung on and fouled away. So again, it'll be two balls and two strikes. It's Billy Williams with the Chicago Cubs. One of the best young-looking ball players we've seen in a long time. He's got a great bat. Fast hands. He really makes that bat fly. George Altman also, a good one. Along with Ron Santo, Ernie Banks, of course. They'll all be in tomorrow night. There's a high pitch to Bob Bruce. So they can't fall now. Three balls and two strikes. Night game tomorrow night, starting at 8 o'clock New York time. Then on Saturday, Ladies Day, and a special event, Camera Day. All you baseball fans who would like to have personal pictures of all your favorite ball players may take pictures from 12 to 12:45 in the lower box seats at your convenience with the New York Mets posing. Mizell with a 3-0 pitch inside, ball four. So Mizell walks his leadoff man here in the bottom half of the fourth inning. And coming into the batter's box, Al Spangler, as Bob Bruce moves down to first base. Second walk issued by Mizell.
At bat number 21, Al Spangler.
Spangler batted twice in the first inning. He was safe in an error by Jay Hook, and that seemed to indicate what would happen for the night for Jay. It was the start of six runs being charged to him. Then he singled the right field. So he is one for two. Batting 275. Left-handed batter. And the first pitch to him by Mizell is hit out to shallow center field. Richie Ashburn walking to the ball now breaks into a small trot. And he makes a catch. Out number one. And moving back to first base, Bob Bruce. One out. 7-1 game, Houston. And the batter now, Joe Malfitano. It was Joe's base hit the night before last that won the ball game against the Mets. Gave the Colt 45s a two-run ninth inning and gave them the victory. That base hit came off of Craig Anderson, who was in the ball game in relief. Joe, a right-handed batter. Mizell with a fastball. It swung on, foul back in the screen, strike one. Took Joe Malfitano 9 years to graduate from college. Doesn't really, it's not as bad as all that. I'll try and explain why. Here's the strike pitch to Joe outside, ball one. He started going to college when he went out to play professional baseball. And he used to go in the wintertime as often as he could, trying to pick up his education. He finally graduated from the University of Southern California in January 1962. He attended several colleges, including Loyola University. The 1-1 pitch, curveball that swung on, fouled away. So the count now, one ball and two strikes. You know, many ball players ask the question when they graduate from high school whether or not they should continue on and get their college education or take a bonus and go out and play professional baseball. Here's an example of what you can do. If you play ball, you can also go to college. You can go in the wintertime. Many ball players have done just that. Of course, in many circumstances, it might be better to go to college and then see whether or not you're fitted for a professional career. But there are two ways to do it. One ball, two strikes. And Malfitano tries to check his swing. The umpire looks down at first base, gets no sign, so it's called ball two. Two balls and two strikes. Joe started to go and then held up at the last minute. And Sammy Taylor discussing the check swing with home plate umpire Augie Donatelli. All the ball players, I'm sure, on the bench yelling if he'd have hit it, he'd have hit it a mile. 7-1 game, Houston. Bottom half of the fourth inning, one out.
Oh,
The 2-2 pitch. Hit back to the shortstop, Chacon. He moves in, throws the second in time to first base in time, a double play. Fine backhanded throw by Elias Chacon as he charged the slow hit ground ball, flipped it underhanded to Charlie Neal to pick up the first man. Charlie completed the double play as he threw to first base. So that retires the side. In the inning for the Colt 45, no runs, no hits, no errors, one walk, no one left. And the score at the end, four innings of play. The Houston Colts, 45-7. The New York Mets, 1. Well, since the Mets will be turning home for a three-series homestand, it might be well for us to remind you that there are three convenient ticket locations for you to purchase tickets. At the Polo Grounds, at the advanced reservation window on the 8th Avenue side, you can purchase tickets for all Met games 7 days a week. Downtown in the Grand Central Station, over by the Vanderbilt Ramp area, there's a ticket office for your convenience. Also in the Pennsylvania Station in the Long Island waiting room. You may make ticket reservations at all the Howard clothing stores in the New York area. Also, if you care to, you can make your ticket requests by mail. Write to ticket manager, Polo Grounds, New York 39. Box seats are $350, reserve seats $250. And be sure to enclose an extra 25 cents to take care of the mailing and handling charges. Also, a check or money order made out for the exact amount of the total amount of tickets you wish to purchase. Well, we're moving now to the top of the fifth inning. It's a 7-1 game in favor of Houston, and batting now for the second time, Vinegar Ben Mizell. Mizell grounded out to short his first time up in the third inning. He bats right-handed, throws left-handed. He'll be followed by the leadoff man, Richie Ashburn, and then Elio Chacon. Bob Bruce on the mound and into the windup. And his first pitch, a curveball outside, ball one. Well, we haven't seen many pitchers in baseball start a pitcher off with a curveball with a six-run lead in the fifth inning. 1-0 pitch, a fastball that's outside, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. We asked Vinegar Ben Mizell one day how the town that he came from, which is Vinegar Bend, got his name. Unbelievable story. I don't know whether to believe it or not. The 2-0 pitch to Mizell, a strike call. He claims that years ago they were building the railroad down through this area, and that they were on a bend in the river, and they fed all the people who were building the railroad molasses. And it turned sour, turned into vinegar, and they threw it into the river. And it became known as Vinegar Bend. There's a strike call. Two balls and two strikes. Honestly, gosh, Bob Murray, that's a true story.
I know where I'm not going to get my molasses from now, and I'll tell you that right now.
At least he claims that's true. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Hit off the end of the bat that goes down the right field line foul. For the count a hold of two balls and two strikes. We were riding around the other day in a cab going into one of the towns and made a mistake of saying that this hotel that we stay in isn't too good. He said this would be a mighty big hotel in Vinegar Bend. Two balls and two strikes. No one out. Top of the fifth inning. And Bob Bruce back to Mizell. Hit off of the good part of the bat to deep center field, but moving back there now is Carl Warwick, and he makes the catch. Warwick with a good jump in that ball, glided back into left center field to haul it down. So Mizell's bid for a base hit taken away. One out now in the batter, Richie Ashburn. Richie 0 for 2. He grounded out to third and struck out, was called out in the third inning. Batting 290. Bob Bruce to Ashburn High, ball one. Richie picked up his first home run. Ulrich with a good jump on that ball, glided back into left center field to haul it down. So Mizell's bid for a base hit taken away. One out now in the batter, Richie Ashburn. Richie 0 for 2. He grounded out to third and struck out, was called out the third inning. Thank you. Batting 290. Bob Bruce to Ashburn High, ball one. Richie picked up his first home run for the 1962 season in Chicago. That was his first since 1959, July of 1959. There's a strike call. One ball, one strike. Richie twice has led the National League in batting. 1-1 pitch bounced down to the second baseman, Amal Fatano. A high hop, he grabs it, throws the first base in time. That ball bounced high, just about over the head of Joe, but he went up with a gloved hand to haul it down and complete the play at first base. Two men out now, and Elio Chacon, the batter. Elio with a base hit in the strikeout, one for two. Batting 256.
At bat, number seven, Elio Chacon.
And the first pitch to Chacon, just outside, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Elio, right-handed batter, being played short by the infield. He runs well. 1-0 pitch, outside, ball two. That pitch down below the knees, two balls and no strikes. Warwick in center field, a shallow center field. The left fielder playing fairly deep, that's Al Spangler. Right fielder also deep. Jim Pendleton. Bob Bruce back to Chacon with a slider outside, ball three. Three balls and no strikes. A 7-1 game, two men out, top of the fifth inning. Houston leading. 3-0 pitch is outside, ball four. And now while Chacon walks to first base and Cliff Cook comes in, we'll take this opportunity to pause for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, 810 on your radio dial, where the time is 31 and a half minutes past 11 o'clock.
Ralph Kiner along with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from Houston, Texas. Score of the ball game, 7-1. The Mets batting now. The Colts lead it. Chacon at first base and Cliff Cook the batter. Bob Bruce with a curveball has popped up high in the air to the second base side. Joe Malfitano is there waiting for the ball to come down. And he makes the catch to retire the side. In the inning for the Mets, no runs, no hits, no errors. One walk, one man left. The score at the end, four and one-half innings of play. The Houston Colts, 7. The New York Mets, 1. Well, while we wait for Mizell to complete the lineups, the warm-ups, let's check the lineups on the scores. Milwaukee 7, L.A. 1. Pittsburgh 6, Chicago 3. Cincinnati 8, San Francisco nothing. Philadelphia at St. Louis not scheduled. In the American League, Minnesota 5, Los Angeles 4. Baltimore 7, Boston 4. Baltimore 7, Boston 4. Washington 4, Cleveland 3. At the end of 3 and 1 half, Kansas City 6, the White Sox 4. Portland pitching for Chicago, Bass scoring for Kansas City. And New York and Detroit not scheduled. Right here, it's a 7-1 game in favor of Houston as Mizell winds up to pitch to his first man here in the bottom half of the fifth. And the first pitch is taken over the outside corner for a strike. Jim Pendleton, the batter. Pendleton with a base hit and a fly ball to center field. One for two. He bats from the right-hand side. Mizell back with a slow changeup. Outside, ball one. One ball, one strike. It will be Jim Pendleton, Norm Larker, and Carl Warwick against Mizell here in the bottom half of the fifth. Now the left-hander with a 1-1 pitch. A let-up, it's popped up. Coming back a home plate now, the catcher, Sammy Taylor. He has room, and he makes the catch. One out as Pendleton goes down to Sammy Taylor in foul territory. And now the batter, Norm Larker. Norm, one for two. He picked up a single in the first inning.
At bat, number 10.
Colts had 7 runs on 6 hits in the first inning. And he popped up to the shortstop. Larker, left-handed batter. Mizell, who came on in the ballgame in the first inning with no one out, has given up only one base hit. Curveball just outside, ball one. Mizell back to Norm Larker with a slow curve that's low inside, ball two. Two balls and no strikes, one out. Houston, seven runs on six hits. The Mets have one run on four. Vinegar Ben into the big windup, and the 2-0 pitch is lying into right center field. Ashburn coming over, takes it on the first bound. And Larker holds at first base with his second hit of the game. And that's the second hit off Mizell. And it brings up Carl Warwick. Warwick broke the ball game open in the first inning with a two-run home run. That was his fifth of the year. He is also flat out to left field, so he is one for two. Batting right-handed. Norm Larker at first base being held on by Thromberry. And the first pitch by Mizell is inside, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Warwick at one time in the Los Angeles Dodger organization. He was sort of the heir apparent to center field for many years, but never could quite make it. He was traded to St. Louis and had a shot there and couldn't make it, but he has come on big here for the Colt 45. 1-0 pitch outside, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Warwick went to the Cardinals from the Dodgers, along with infielder Bobby Lillis, who is also on this ball club, for infielder Darryl Spencer. 2-0 pitch to Warwick. Swung on and missed, strike one. A big swing by Carl. Two balls and one strike. Warwick came to this ball club and the deal that sent Bobby Shantz to St. Louis. Mizell now, two balls and one strike. And his pitch back to Warwick is inside for ball three. Three balls and one. Mets will arrive in New York at Idlewild Airport at 1:54 Eastern Daylight Time. Tomorrow afternoon, then play a night game tomorrow night. They'll open up against the Cubs. There's a throw to first base, but Larker, who was only about two steps off, just walks back in. Now the 3-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike two. Three balls and two strikes. Hal Smith is in the on-deck circle, which might indicate that they're switching catchers due to the left-handed pitching of Vinegar Van Mizell. Renew the catcher, a left-handed batter. There's a throw again to first base on the 3-2 count, and again Larker back. Colts lead at 7-1. Three balls and two strikes, one out. Again to first base, and again Larker back. Now the stretch. The look at first base and out of the plate. The runner going. This ball hit deep to left field. Moving over to left field and deep left field is Frank Thomas, and he makes the catch. Coming back from first base to first base after being all the way down to second base, Norm Larker. So Thomas picks up the second out of the inning, and here's Hal Smith.
Smith needs to renew.
Smith, the right-handed batter, being used against the left-handed pitcher. Al, of course, well remembered for the home run that gave the Pittsburgh Pirates a two-run lead in the final game of the World Series in 1960. The Yankees later tied it up, and then Mazeroski got all the claim to fame when he hit one off Rob Terry in the ninth inning to win it for Pittsburgh. Still say, Smith's home run, a big one. Al Smith, the right-handed batter. And the first pitch to him is a curveball, swung on and missed strike one. Smith tried to hold up and couldn't. The bat came straight up in the air, but he went around. One strike. Smith batting 252. Al just about going everywhere that Paul Richards goes. He traded for him when he was at Baltimore and then brought him down here. Fastball is fouled away, strike two. Al, a very good receiver, pulled a play here the other day against the Dodgers that I don't believe has ever been pulled before. He was catching in the ball game against Tiefenauer, who is a knuckleball pitcher, and he had the big glove on, which is very hard to handle. A ball was hit out to the outfield, and a play to the plate was coming up. And as Tiefenauer came by Smith to back up the play, he took his fielder's glove, exchanged that with Tiefenauer. Tiefenauer took the catcher's glove. He took the throw with a fielder's glove, made the tag for the out. That's pretty fast thinking right there. Two-strike pitch to Howell, outside, ball one. One ball, two strikes. On the hard slide at home, it's very tough, much tougher to hold on to the ball with a big catcher's glove, let alone a catcher's glove. Have much more ball control with a fielder's glove. One ball, two strikes, two outs. A runner at first, and the pitch back to Smith, outside, ball two. So the count now, three deuces on the board, 2-2 and two. 7-1 game, Houston. Bottom half of the fifth. The on-deck batter, Bob Aspermonte. Barker at first base with a short lead. And Mizell back to Smith low for a full count now. Three balls and two strikes. So we'll see Larker go at first base with two outs. Now Mizell set. Cronberry in back of the runner. The runner goes. The pitch is swung on foul off the glove of Sammy Taylor. So the count will stay at three balls and two strikes. Two strikes with two outs. Barker at first, edging off. He goes. The pitch to the plate is hit sharply through the middle into center field. Barker now going for third base. Ashburn up with the ball, throws in, loses the ball. Barker now is going to score. There's a throw to second base, not in time. Richie Ashburn up with the ball is making a routine throw to second base. Barker had third base standing up. And as he took the ball out of his glove, went back to throw it, it fell out of his hand. So Larker continued on to home after the error, and moving on down to second base, Al Smith. Score of the ball game now 8-1, and that's the third error in the ball game for the Mets. Batter Bob Aspermonte at second base, Hal Smith. A run in, two outs now, and the score 8-1 in favor of the Colts. Aspermonte 0-2 in the ballgame. He has flied out to center field both times up.
Oh, no.
face, a right-handed batter. Has a brother in the Cleveland Indian organization, Ken Aspromonte. Now time called as Aspromonte moves over to get some rosin. It's a warm night here in Houston. It's been warm here. Temperatures ranging around 91, 92 all day long, and humidity up around 70, 75%. Now Mizell set, and the first pitch to Aspromonte, taken outside, ball one. One ball, no strikes. You know, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. How about you? Just about enough time to open up or order up a Rheingold before the action starts again. Mizell into the stretch, looking at his runner at second base. And the 1-0 pitch to Aspromonte. Swung on and missed, strike one. One ball, one strike. Aspromonte makes his home in Brooklyn. Speaking of Brooklyn, the famous Brooklyn Giant playoff game will be replayed July 14th in an old-timer's game. Curveball popped up in foul territory behind home plate and going out of play. So the cat now, one ball and two strikes. Yes, on July 14th, stars such as Jackie Robinson, Jim Hearn, Ralph Barranca, Bobby Thompson, many, many others, all invited to participate in a old-timers game honoring and recreating the famous playoff series between the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants. Won by the Giants in 1951. That game will precede the regular game between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets. Two-inning ball game. And some of those fellows like Newcomb and Barranca, we saw them in batting practice. They still fire. They look good. Mizell with a 1-2 pitch. This one has popped up straight back of the home plate. Coming back again is Taylor, and again it goes out of play. So the count will stay at one ball and two strikes. The other day, Don Newcomb was throwing batting practice to the Los Angeles Dodgers when they were in town, and he was throwing very, very nicely. Had good zip on the ball. Also, Barranca came out to throw, and he looked good. The date of that ball game, July 14th, mark it down. Of course, the Dodgers will be in town. That probably is the only incentive you need, because the Dodgers certainly have packed them in their return to the Polo Grounds in New York. One ball, two strikes, two outs. And Mizell with a fastball is pulled foul down the left field line out of play. So for the third time, one ball and two strikes. Al Smith at second base, two outs. 8-1 game, Houston. Mizell into the stretch. And the pitch, a curveball, popped up into shallow left field. Thomas coming on, Aspen coming on. Aspen calls, and he makes the catch. And that retires the side. In the inning for the Colt 45s, one run on two hits. There was one error and one man left. And the score at the end of five innings of play. The Houston Colt 45s, 8. The New York Mets, 1. Moving out of the top of the sixth inning, Houston Colt 45s, 8 runs on 8 hits. They picked up 7 of their runs in this ball game in the first inning, scoring 6 of them off Jay Hook, who was the starting pitcher. He didn't get anyone out. He gave up 5 hits, struck out none, and walked none. And the other one was scored off of Vinegar Ben Mizell, who came in the first inning. Mizell has pitched well since coming in. He has given up only three base hits. It's the mid half of the sixth inning, and Frank Thomas steps in. And in the ballgame as catcher, Hal Smith. He was a pinch hitter for Renew, who was the starting catcher. First pitch to Thomas, swung on and missed, strike one. Big curveball by Bruce. Bob Bruce, now working through five innings, has given up one run on a total of four base hits. He has struck out three and has walked three. Now the right-hander to Thomas for a second pitch. A fun out in front of the plate. Smith up with the ball. Throws to first base in plenty of time. A good play off the base. The first base for Norm Larker off of the base. We were going to say a good play by Larker as he went up high for that ball and he couldn't get back to the bag. So it will be an error on the catcher, Hal Smith. Thomas safe at first base on the air. And the batter now, Mark Thornberry. That's the first error of the ball game for the Houston Colt 45. Thornberry at first base, the batter. He had a home run in the second inning to account for the only run of the ballgame for New York. Left-handed batter. And the first pitch to him is a curveball, low inside, ball one. One ball, no strike. Marv also picked up a walk in the fourth inning, so he is one for one. One-oh pitch, a curveball that drops over, strike two, one. One ball, one strike. Slow curveball by Bob Bruce that just sort of fell down into the strike zone. One ball, one strike. This is Bruce's eighth start of the season. There's a curve that bounces in the dirt. Smith blocks it out in front of the plate and holding at first base, Frank Thomas. Bruce's eighth start and his 12th appearance of the year. He's pitched two complete games. Now time as Norm Larker goes over to talk to Bruce. In spite of the fact that Bruce has worked with at least a six-run lead in the ballgame, he's had a relief man up in the bullpen twice. The Mets have left five men on through five innings. Now the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and missed, strike two. Curveball in good position right around the knees on the inside corner of the plate. Two balls and two strikes. Dolly Hemus, who is the mayor of Houston, coaching at third base. He knows more people than a real good politician. There's a curve hit out to shallow left field. Coming on quickly is Al Spangler. He can't get to it. It drops in. Going to third base is Thomas. The throw there is not in time. Now moving on to second base. On the throw to third is Mark Thornberry. So a base hit for Thornberry. That's his second in the ballgame. He's two for two. And once more, there's a sign for someone to get warm in the bullpen for the Colt 45. Mets now as they trail by seven with runners at second and third and no one out here in the top of the sixth. And the batter's Johnny Neal. Johnny Neal, who's had a perfect night, two for two. He and Thornberry accounting for four of the five hits off of Bob Bruce.
At bat number four, Johnny Neal.
Neal playing second base, batting right-handed, infield playing back. No one out, runners at second, third. In the first pitch, a fastball swung and a miss, strike one. Neal is 5-for-7 in this series against the Colt 45. The one-strike pitch to Johnny. Fastball outside, ball one. One ball, one strike. Ken McKenzie now up for the New York Mets. Frank Thomas at third base, at second base, Marv Thornberry. And Bruce outside with a curveball, ball two. Two balls and one strike. Turk Farrell warming up in the bullpen for the Houston Colt 45. Farrell was the losing pitcher in the first game of the series. There's a fastball that's popped up in foul territory over on the first base side and going out of play. So they count two balls and two strikes with no one out. Romero after he had lost that ball game. He lost it 3-1. Was quoted by the newspapers here in Houston as saying that he didn't have to throw his curveball. He could beat the Mets with just his fastball alone. Two pitch. Curveball outside, ball three. Of course, there's always the answer to that one. How'd he make out? He lost it 3-1. Right here, 3 balls and 2 strikes. Charlie Neal is 8-14 for the season against the Colt 45. And the 3-2 pitch to Charlie Neal. He tries to check his swing. It was inside, but it hit the bat and went out of play. So Charlie misses a walk as he tried to get out of the way of that ball. And the count holds at 3 balls and 2 strikes. The on-deck batter is Sammy Taylor. Carl Warwick, a very shallow center field. Again, the 3-2 pitch to Charlie. Swung on and missed, strike three. So Neal goes out swinging. That's the 4th strikeout by Bob Bruce. And the first out here in the 6th inning. And the batter now, Sammy Taylor.
And back, number 16.
Sammy has walked and grounded out to the first baseman unassisted. 0-1. Left-handed batter. Runners at 2nd and 3rd. 1 out. 8-1 game in favor of the Colt 45. First pitch is hit right back to the middle. The shortstop up with the ball will go to first base as Frank Thomas scores from 3rd in the out. So now the score of the ball game 8-2, and while we have a second here before Jim Hickman comes to bat, we'll take this opportunity to pause for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, where you can hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball, for the best in music, for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
Ralph Kiner along with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from Houston, Texas. Score of the ball game now 8-2. And at third base, Marv Thornberry with Jim Hickman batting with 2 outs. And the first pitch to Jim is a curve outside, ball 1. Bruce into the windup, and the 1-0 pitch to Jim. An attempt at a bunt, and a throw to third base, almost going in the left field. A good play by Bob Aspermonte to keep it from going in the left field. The play will go as a strike on Jim Hickman as he tried to beat out a bunt. And a good play for Bob Aspermonte. Marv Thornberry started to move in on the bunt in order to score, then had to scramble back as Smith made a throw down there, but the throw was bad. 1 ball, 1 strike, 2 outs. Curveball is up high, ball 2. 2 balls and 1 strike. Houston with 7 runs in the 1st inning, added 1 more in the 5th. The Mets scored 1 in the 2nd, and have scored 1 here in the top of the 6th. There's a curve hit hard down to Aspermonte. He comes up with it, makes the sidearm throw to first base in time to retire the side. In the inning for the New York Mets, 1 run on 1 hit. There was 1 error. And 1 man left. And the score at the end of 5 1/2 innings of play. The Houston Colts 45-8, the New York Mets 2. And the ball game going along now to the bottom half of the 6th inning. Score of the game, 8-2 in favor of Houston as they come to bat against Vinegar Van Mizell. And the first batter will be Bob Lillis. First pitch to him, line down the left field line, but foul. Third base umpire giving the sign quickly that it was a foul ball. So 1 strike now, and Lillis as he leads off here in the 6th. Lillis has walked and grounded out to 2nd, 0-1. Wiesel into the lineup, and the 1-strike pitch. Change up hit the center field. Ask for moving back about 15 steps is there, and he makes the catch. Out number one. In the National League in a day game, Milwaukee defeated Los Angeles 7-1 as Bob Shaw picked up his eighth victory. Hank Aaron had a home run in that ball game. Pittsburgh defeated Chicago 6-3. Behind the pitching of Bob Friend, he has now won 7 and lost 7. Hulk Williams and Sano home runs in that ball game. Incidentally, Williams will be in the Polo Grounds as of tomorrow night. Cubs coming in for a four-game series. Here's the pitcher, Bob Bruce. And Mizell catches a strike with a curveball, strike one. In a night game, the Cincinnati Reds defeated the San Francisco Giants 8-0. Joey Jay, a three-hitter. That's his ninth win of the year. He has lost six. Losing pitcher was Billy Pierce. There's a curveball low, ball one. One ball, one strike. Billy Pierce, incidentally, in that ball game, had a two-inch cut on the Achilles tendon on the heel, and he was taken to the hospital for observation. A 1-1 pitch to Bruce outside, ball two. Two balls and one strike. Those are the scores of the only other games in the National League, with the exception of the one right here in Houston. Houston leading now 8-2. Philadelphia and St. Louis not scheduled. One out as Mizell cranks for the 2-1 pitch. Slow curve that drops over, called strike two. Two balls and two strikes. Two balls and two strikes. Pitch back to the plate, hit on the ground slowly to third. Cook up with the ball, throws across to get his man. Two men out now, and while we have time, we pause for station identification.
The time, 5 minutes past 12, WABC, New York's first station for music and sports.
Rob Kiner along with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from Houston, Texas. It's the bottom half of the sixth inning. Score 8-2 in favor of the Colts. And the batter's Al Spangler. Al has one hit and three times up. He has scored a run. He has driven two in. Spangler batting 275. Two outs and the first pitch to Spangler by Mizell is right at his head. Down he goes. The ball goes on by up against the screen. Ball one. Spangler really had to bail out from under that one. One ball and no strikes. In a day game, Minnesota defeated Los Angeles 5-4. As Jim Cott picked up the victory, the loser was Fowler in relief. Barry Allen and Moran had home runs in that ball game. Also during the daytime, Baltimore 7, Boston 4, with Barber the winner, 5-4 now. The loser, Mambo Cat. Robinson a home run, Brooks Robinson, and Gentile a home run. Gentile now 17. 1-0 pitch to Spangler outside. Two balls and no strike. So Gentile now taking over second place in the home run derby in the major leagues. Willie Mays leads it with 21. Cepeda of the Giants also has 17, so Gentile is tied with him. In night ball, the Washington Senators defeated Cleveland 4-3. As Katina picked up the win for Washington, the losing pitcher was Gary Bell. And also in a night game, through five innings, Kansas City way out in front of the Chicago White Sox. 9-4. 2-0 pitch to Spangler. Hit deep to right field, but foul. Spangler, with a big swing, got out in front of that fastball. Two balls and one strike. In that White Sox-Kansas City game, Bass is now in. He came in the game in the fourth inning. Sandy going for the White Sox. Ed Charles has had two home runs in the ball game. Landis has had one. Lumpy has had one. New York and Detroit were not scheduled. 2-1 pitch to Spangler, a strike call. Two balls and two strikes with two outs. Right here, the score 8-2. Mets trail as they work with two outs in the 2-2 count. And now Spangler. Mizell back with a slow curve outside and low. Ball three. So a full count to Al Spangler. The on-deck batter, Joe Malfitano. Mizell's uniform is soaking wet. It's a very humid night. A 3-2 pitch to the left-handed batter. Popped up in foul territory. Coming over, Sammy Taylor. He has room, and he makes a catch to retire the side. So in the inning for the Colt 45, 3-3 the score at the end of 6 innings of play. The Houston Colt 45's 8. The New York Mets 2.
Joe Christopher up as a pinch hitter batting for Vinegar Ben Mizell. And the pitch is taken outside, ball one. Yes, sir, after this series with the mosquitoes coming in pretty strong, we'll be ready for a safari. Now right-hander Bob Bruce. Into his windup, the pitch to Christopher, a curve in the dirt. Outside and low, one ball, one strike. Texans tell you not to worry about a thing, that they'll be leaving here before very long. Well, I think the mosquitoes go down to the Gulf area, to Port Arthur and Galveston, where they spend a very leisurely summer, and they come back about the time you're ready to get September going. The 1-1 pitch, a high pop fly down the left field line, just in behind third. Aspromonte, near the rim of the outfield grass, takes it for the out. One away and nobody on. Now in the top of the seventh inning, here's Richie Ashburn at the top of the order. Vinegar Ben Mizell turned in a strong job in relief tonight for the New York Mets. He held the Colt 45s in check to give the Mets a chance to try and get back in the ballgame. But so far, right-hander Bob Bruce has been a tough puzzle to solve. Richie hitting at 287. Pitched by the right-hander, a fastball over, a call strike. Richie 0 for 3 in the game, has grounded out third to first, taken a call third strike, and been thrown out by Joey Malapitano. Now Bruce over the head, around comes the right arm. Curve lashed toward the hole, fielded by the first baseman Larker. He races to the bag, makes the play unassisted, two down. Ball hit sharply by Ashburn, but Larker, lunging off to his right and being a left-hander, was able to handle the ball on the first hop. Two outs and nobody on. The batter will be Elio Chacon. Elio has struck out, lined a base hit into left field, and drawn a walk. One hit and two times up. Elio hitting at 256. A little bit low, Elio laying off of it. One ball, no strikes. For the Colt 45s, 8 runs on 8 hits and 1 error. New York Mets, 2 runs on 5 hits and 3 errors. First time in a long time, the Mets have committed 3 errors in one ball game. Outside, ball 2, 2-0. Vinegar Ben worked 6 innings. Ball three, Bruce behind on Elio Chacon now. Three balls and no strikes. Bob Moorhead, a right-hander, loosening up in the bullpen for the New York Mets to hurl in the last half of the inning. Now Bruce behind, 3-0 on little Elio Chacon. In comes the pitch to him. Too high, it's ball four, and Elio is on. The third straight time he's been on in the game. That's the fourth walk given up by Bob Bruce. And it brings up Cliff Cook. Cliff 0 for 3 has been struck out, fly to center, and hit a high pop fly taken by Malapitano out behind second in short center field. Mets trying to stir it up and get back in this ball game. We're in the top half of the seventh inning. Pitch by Bruce. The runner goes. The pitch outside the peg. He steals the base. Elio with a big jump that time on Bob Bruce. He wasn't running any risk with the jump he got that time. Not bad baseball at all, that kind of a jump. He was already safely entrenched on the bag when the throw arrived from Hal Smith. Bruce apparently failed to look him back at all, and Elio took off. So give Elio Chacon a stolen base. He sets himself up in scoring position. 2 men away, 1 ball and no strikes. A foul ball raked back into the screen. 1 ball, 1 strike. For Elio Chacon, he now has stolen 5 bases. Frank Thomas crouched in the on-deck circle, hoping that Cook can save him a turn at bat here in the top of the 7th. Now the pitch on the way. Breaking ball outside and low. 2 balls and 1 strike. Elsewhere in baseball today, the Dodgers and Giants both lost, so the Dodgers maintain a 2-game lead. And the Minnesota Twins of Sam Mealy, by winning, take undisputed possession of first place in the American League's tied race. Count 2-1 on Cliff Cook. The pitch by Bruce. He tried to hold up, but he went too far, says Frank Sicori, and the count is even 2-2. Bruce challenged his power with a fastball up in his eyes, and Cliff went half started after it, then tried to hold up, but he had started too strong. Elio Chacon on second, 2 men down. Pitching 2-2. Curve gets the outside corner, strike 3 call. Real good pitch by Bob Bruce as he chalks up his 5th strike out of the game. In the 7th inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, 1 left on. And now at the end of 6.5 innings, the score here at Colt Stadium in Houston, Texas, the Houston Colt 45's 8 and the New York Mets 2. Bob Moorhead into hurl now for Casey Stengel's New York Mets. Well, Bob, his 16th appearance of the year, his first of the season against the Colt 45s. Bob has worked a total of 42 innings, has won none and lost none. Vinegar Ben Mizell turned in a good relief job. Vinegar, in 6 innings, allowed 2 runs. Only 1 of the 2 was earned. He gave up just 3 scattered hits. Walked only 2 men, and he struck out none. Good job by Vinegar Ben, who came on to replace the starter for the New York Mets, Jay Hook, when Jay was unable to retire a hitter in the opening inning of the game. The Colt 45 scored 7 of their 8 runs in the first inning. Now Joey Anatapitano is up in the last half of the 7th inning. Right-handed batting second baseman. Takes the pitch at the letters, ball 1. Anatapitano, 1 hit and 3 times up. Pitch by Moorhead. Fastball this time on the outside edge of the plate. 1 ball, 1 strike. Bob likes to mix up his fastball, curves, and sliders. It's been used both as a starter and a relief hitter by Casey. The 1-1 pitch. Outside and low, it's ball 2, 2-1. Nobody on, nobody out. We're in the last half of the 7th. A little bit outside, and Moorhead goes behind on Amalfitano. Pitching 3-1. That's a strike on the outside corner. A full count, 3-2. The only other game going, the game in Kansas City, and it's a real Pier 6 brawl. Ball 4 is outside. On 3-2, Amalfitano walks, leading off the home 7th inning. The air is beginning to smell a little bit like rain. We had a threat of rain. Nobody on, nobody out. We're in the last half of the 7th. A little bit outside, and Moorhead goes behind on Amalfitano. Pitching 3-1. That's a strike on the outside corner. A full count, 3-2. The only other game going is the game in Kansas City, and it's a real Pier 6 brawl. Ball 4 is outside. On 3-2, Amalfitano walks, leading off the home 7th inning.
sure it's beginning to smell a little bit like rain. We had a threat of rain prior to the start of the game, and, of course, showers have been forecast for the afternoon and this evening. And the rain last night, I'm telling you, was a real Texas rain. There wasn't much doubt about it. Jim Pendleton up, squares around, bunts off the mound, Moorhead. He's up with it. His only play is to first in time. Barb Thornberry handling a throw from Bob Moorhead. And so Jim Pendleton, the number three hitter in the batting order, gives up his turn at bat, trying to help build a run. He moves from Malapitano along to second. Now here's the cleanup batter, Norm Larker. Larker has 2 for 3, both singles, and has driven 2 runs in. Larker hitting at 288. Game in Kansas City, it's now the A's in front 9-6 at the end of 5.5. Here's the pitch to Larker. The left-hand hitter takes the pitch in there for a call, strike one. 2 years ago, Larker battled Captain Dick Grote of the Pittsburgh Pirates down to the final week in quest of the National League batting title. Grote won the title and the MVP award. Moorhead delivers. Off the outside corner, 1-1. Well, it'll be mighty good to get back to the Polo Grounds tomorrow night and open a very busy homestand. Starting with the doubleheader against the Cubs on Sunday, the Mets will have 4 doubleheaders in 8 days. They'll be playing 13 games on the homestand against the Cubs, the Milwaukee Braves, and the Houston Colt 45s. The 1-1 delivery, a high fly ball hit the left field. Frank Thomas, who was playing him in left center, is standing under it, and he has it for the out. Now there are 2 away in the last of the 7th inning, and coming on to hit will be the center fielder, Carl Warwick. He has hit the ball hard all night. Warwick homered with a man on in the 1st inning, his 5th home run of the year. Fly deep to left in the 2nd, and fly to left again in the 5th inning. So Carl Warwick, 1 for 3, right-hand hitter batting at 294. Mets play him straight away in the infield and straight away in the outfield. Bob Moorhead delivers a little bit high. 1-0. Milwaukee Braves have been playing their best ball of the season of late. And they'll be coming into the Polo Grounds next Monday night to open a 4-game series. Monday night, Tuesday, and a doubleheader on Wednesday. When Warren Spahn was beaten by a single run last night, it was the 5th time this year he lost by 1 run. Swing and a foul tip, no play. 1-1. The Braves now, they've been fighting an uphill climb, and now they are just 3 under the 500 mark at 29 and 32. One and one, the count on Carl Warwick. Joey Amalfitano on second, 2 men down. The 1-1 pitch, check swing, but it's in there for a call strike on the outside edge of the plate. Boy, you can fry eggs on the sidewalk in Texas these days. It has been hot. Where's that flash water, Ralph? Here comes another one. One and two, the count. Here's the pitch on the way. A high pop foul toward the backstop. Sammy Taylor, looking through the mask, has no play. Ball back in the crowd and out of play.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cannon.
With that back end, I think you might be able to take on Nancy.
I don't know, Ralph. I'm going to have to practice up my game. You know, us amateurs don't go out and play world champions overnight. I was happy to hear that Nancy and the children all got back to New York safely after their long drive from California.
They finally made it.
Well, I bet little mother is ready to rest up a couple of days after that 3,500-mile drive. 2-2 now on Carl Warwick. I got that moving van pulling up on Saturday afternoon. You haven't got any extra money on you, have you?
Let's stop Lindsay. He's finally got a steady job, like the man said before the game.
2 outs, a man on second, 2 down. Pitch by Moorhead. Whacked foul again. This will be another souvenir back in the multicolored seats. And out of play. Ralph, does it ever rain in California like it rained here last night?
I don't think it rains anywhere like it rained here last night. I never saw it come down that big.
We had a rain just about exactly like that. Remember down in St. Petersburg, spring training this year. I think you'd gone up to New York.
I was up in New York, yeah.
I'll tell you, that's when they wrote that song, Paddling Madeline Home.
2-2 on Carl Warwick. 8-2, Colt 45's in front, last half of the seventh. Bob Moorhead kicks and delivers. He struck him out, swinging. Bob Moorhead fanning Carl Warwick. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on. And now at the end of seven, the score, the Houston Colts, 8 runs on 8 hits and 1 error. The New York Mets, 2 runs on 5 hits and 3 errors. Mets opening a 13-game homestand tomorrow night against the Chicago Cubs. Billy Williams, who is just about to talk in the National League right now, is hitting .345. Only a point off the pace in the National League going into the action today. He might well be leading the National League. We don't know how he fared this afternoon. But at any rate, you'll see some of the outstanding young players and outstanding hitters in the National League in that Cubs series opening tomorrow night with Altman, Banks, Billy Williams, Chunky Ron Santo, and those two good-looking rookies, Ken Hubbs and Lou Brock. Charlie Metro, the head coach of the Cubs, thinks that Ken Hubbs has a good chance to be named to the All-Star team. But, of course, the New York Mets feel that their Charlie Neal is playing as fine as second base as is being played anywhere in the National League today. Charlie is driving in as many runs as any second baseman, playing consistently day in and day out. But we'll be looking for you tomorrow night at the Polo Grounds in the opening of that 13-game homestand. And when you stop by any of the convenient ticket locations, east side, west side, or all around the town, while you make your ticket plans for the coming homestand starting tomorrow night, be sure that you make plans at the same time for the old-timers game on the 14th of July, a Saturday when the New York Mets hosts the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the stars of the Giants and the Dodgers involved in that dramatic 51 playoff game come back to relive the moment. Now here we go into the eighth inning with Frank Thomas leading off against Bob Bruce. Ground ball off the end of the bat down the first baseline, fielded by Larker. He flips to Bruce, covering in time for the out. Frank hit that one right off the end of the bat. One away and nobody on in the top of the eighth inning. Now the hitter is Marv Thornberry. Marv hit a drive into the right field seats for a home run in the second, drew a walk in the fourth, and singled to left center field in the sixth inning. So Marv is 2-for-2 in the game. Marv, like several members of the New York Mets with school out this week, anxious now to get their families moved to New York and settle down for the baseball season. Inside of the knees, one ball and no strikes. And Marv and some of the others are still house hunting, so if you have any houses available for rental to the ball players during the summer, don't call, but send by correspondence to Housing at New York Mets, the Polo Grounds 39. Slow curve that's in and over, a call strike. One ball and one strike. Now Bruce over the head, the 1-1 pitch. He was way out in front on a beauty of a slow curve by Bruce. He throttled back on that one. Thornberry, a good fastball hitter, and they feed him a lot of slow breaking stuff. One and two. Here's the pitch to him. Curve hit on the ground down the first baseline. Fair ball, fumbled by Norm Larker. The throw to first, not in time. Thornberry is on. He hit a curve right down the first baseline, and Larker was deep behind the bag. When he got his glove on it, but couldn't hold it, and it scooted away over in foul ground, so we'll wait for the official scoring on the play. It'll be an error charge to Norm Larker. Oh, wait a minute. The scoreboard is flashing E, and the PA system in the press box says they said. Now they're flashing the hit sign. It's a base hit for Thornberry, giving him 3-for-3. Larker had a tough chance on his hands, no doubt about it. Charlie Neal has 2-for-3. He's been wielding a real good bat. Fastball over, a call strike. Charlie's been the best hitter against Houston pitching this year for the New York Mets. Fly ball slam deep down the right field line. Will it stay fair? It is a foul ball out of play. Foul ball to the right field corner and out of play. Well, with the hot weather here, the summer season really in full bloom now, the Mets coming home for a big weekend series of four games. Be sure now you have a good supply of cold Rheingold Extra Dry beer on hand for the weekend. Yes, sir, you'll enjoy relaxing over the weekend with Rheingold Extra Dry beer. Swing and a miss. The bat slips out of Charlie's hands and goes back toward the backstop. Ray Davio has started to warm up in the bullpen for the New York Mets. Two-strike count now on Charlie, and Charlie has to go to the pine tar club and try and tighten up that grip on the bat handle. One away and one on. We're in the top of the eighth inning. Mets 6 runs behind, trailing 8-2. Now the stretch by right-hander Bruce. Here's his pitch. Curve missing. One ball and two strikes. In other games, both the Dodgers and the Giants were beaten. Bob Shaw pitched a six-hitter as the Braves beat the Dodgers 7-1. Slow ground ball hit toward the hole on the left side. Cut off by Aspermonte. Thrown to second, force play on Marv Thornberry. Good play by Bob Aspermonte to get the force play at second base. Now before Sammy Taylor steps in, we'll step out for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, where you can hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball, for the best in music, for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner from Houston, Texas. We're in the top of the eighth inning. Sammy Taylor has drawn a walk, twice grounded out. He's 0-2 in the game. Sammy has been kept busy chasing those pop fouls to the backstop in this game tonight. This is one of those nights where a pitcher, and a catcher in particular, could lose as much as 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 pounds. Here's the stretch. And the pitch on the way. A breaking ball inside and low, it's ball one. Ralph, during your playing days, you experienced some of those red-hot summer days out in St. Louis. What's the most weight you ever lost in any one day playing baseball?
Most I've lost in one day is about 8 pounds in a doubleheader in St. Louis. That's right. I've seen pitchers, though, lose anywhere, well, up to 14 pounds.
That's a little bit misleading, Ralph, and so we don't mislead any of the fans. Why, we should probably point out that as soon as they relax after the game and, of course, have a couple of glasses of water, by the next morning they put most of that weight back.
All of it comes back. That's right.
Inside, down around the knees, ball two. 2-0 now to Sammy Taylor.
I've seen it so hot in St. Louis for doubleheaders. They talk about it being hot here. I've seen it so hot that we used to have to come in off the field and put our feet in buckets of ice to cool your feet off.
That's from the days when you used to, when you went to bed at night, where you'd get the bed sheet soaking wet and then turn on the fan. First thing you know, we were telling Texas stories, weren't we?
Oh, these are true stories, though. In Chicago one time, it was 100 degrees in the daytime. It cooled way off to 99 one night. And we had to put our sheets in the bathtub, get it soaking wet, put it on the bed and go to sleep. As soon as they dry out, you'd wake up and put them back in again.
The miracle of the modern ages, how air conditioning has changed things. 2-1 delivery now to Taylor, inside and lowest, ball three, 3-1. Well, right in the state of Texas, in the days of the Texas League, when the days when Vinegar Ben Mizell was a standout in the circuit, one of the hottest cities I've ever known was Beaumont, Texas. Boy, it really gets hot there. Now the 3-1 delivery, way over his head, it breaks off the catcher, Hal Smith's mitt. Charlie Neal goes down to second, takes the turn. And now the Mets have runners on first and second. And Jim Hickman is coming up. That's five walks charged up now to right-hander Bob Bruce. Runners on first and second. Two men down, Hickman the batter. Jim 0-3 in tonight's game.
That's back. Number 9, Jim Hickman.
Speak of expressions of how hot it can get, one of my favorites of all is it's hotter than a pay telephone booth in Wichita, Kansas on the 4th of July. Bunted down the third baseline, trying to bunt for a hit. They're letting it roll. It will roll foul. Jim Hickman trying to bunt for a hit with two men down. He caught the third baseman, Aspermonte, back.
Looked like he had a real good bunt going for a moment, but a bit too much spin on it, and the ball spun and fell about 5 feet before it reached third base.
You know, Bobby, talk about hot cities. I think you got to say Washington, D.C. is one of the hottest. Also, Cincinnati. They've had temperatures there that hover around 100 degrees with that humidity in that valley, and I've seen days where ball players just couldn't make nine innings there.
Yeah, whenever ball players gather to talk about the heat, those are cities you always hear mentioned. Now, Bob Bruce, up in pitching position, checks the runners. Jim Hickman cocks the bat. Here's the pitch. He tries to bunt again on a curve, and it's fouled back into the screen.
We had one time in Brooklyn, though, where it was pretty hot. One of our pitchers crawled up inside the steel container, aluminum container, I've forgotten what it's made out of, where they keep the tarp, and went to sleep. Unfortunately for him, it rained that day, and they rolled the tarp out in the field and rolled him right out of the tube.
Okay. Two-strike count on Jim Hickman. Runners at first and second, two men down. And the pitcher on the way, a curve that is swung and missed, strike three. Hickman struck out by Bruce, his sixth strikeout of the game. Mets threatened but failed to get a run in their half of the eighth inning. No runs, one hit, no errors, and two left on. And now at the end of seven and a half innings, the score, the Houston Colt 45's eight and the New York Mets two. Last of the eighth inning now, Hal Smith will be coming out to face Bob Moorhead with the Colt 45s out in front by a score of 8-2. Well, we certainly hope you're planning to be with us now at the Polo Grounds for the 13-game homestand opening tomorrow night against the Chicago Cubs. Four games with the Cubs, four games with the Braves, and five games with Houston. Bob Moorhead winds and pitches, and Smitty whacks it foul down the third baseline, strike one. I'd like to call to the attention of all the New York taxi drivers that if you read the current issue of Taxi Weekly, you'll find an announcement in it of interest to you and the Mets. Moorhead winding, down comes his delivery. Fastball a little bit outside. One ball, one strike. Colt 45s are winding up a homestand tonight. They head for the West Coast. Outside and low, 2-1. Houston feels the one thing they have going in their favor for the remainder of the year is the fact that when this weekend is over, they will have played 14 of their 18-game schedule this year against the Dodgers. Outside and low, three balls and a strike. Pitching 3-1. A high fly ball hit the left field. Drifting to his left, over in the alley in left center, Frank Thomas, he's there, and he makes the catch for the out.
I'm told for a runner.
You know, Ralph, the real unsung heroes in baseball, of course, are the baseball scouts. This week, the kids are all getting out of high school. The College World Series is going on up in Omaha. I bet those scouts aren't averaging 3 hours sleep a night.
And I'll tell you one thing, they probably have more scouts in the stands than they have spectators.
Yes, sir, they really converge. One away and nobody on. Bob Aspermonte is up. Outside and low, it's ball one. New York Mets scouts are on the trail of the outstanding young talent across the land. They announced the signing of 8 free agents today. Fine young prospects. Ball two outside, 2-0. It's a boy out of Santa Clara that's drawing tremendous attention. Every year, there's always three or four, maybe five boys that get the press clippings across the country. Off the plate, a foul ball bouncing in behind Lumen Harris, the third base coach. Two balls and one strike.
There's so many scouts around now, Bob, it's one of the scouts don't sign the scouts.
Their job is not an easy one. Those fellas travel a tremendous number of miles each year. They line up the prospects, then they have to sell them. Ground ball hit on the right side of the diamond. Neal can't handle the ball. It goes on into right field. Charlie running to his glove side. Slid over in front of it, but it went under his glove, through his legs, and into right field, and it will be an error charge to Charlie Neal.
One away and one on. Now coming up to hit will be Bob Lillis, the shortstop. He's drawn a walk, grounded out, fly to center. He's 0 for 2. Fourth error charged against the Mets in the game. The Mets will have Roger Craig opening the homestand against the Chicago Cubs tomorrow night. Pitch by Moorhead. Misses the outside corner. One ball and no strikes. This has been a ball game in which the relief pitching has done well for the New York Mets and the starting pitching failed to hold the opposition. Breaking ball taken. Two balls and no strikes.
You know, speaking of scouting, Bob, in the olden days, they had one scout on the west side of the Mississippi and one scout on the east side. Now they have them on each side of the street.
2-0 delivery. Foul ball back and out of play. Well, it's progress, Ralph. I guess everything, every line of business, every walk of life, everything is more competitive.
One of the real good stories, one told about Babe Herman, who was in cooking dinner, actually, and talking to the mother, showing her how to cook food, trying to sign up the mother. And while he was in there cooking dinner, Hollis Thurston signed the kid and the father up in the living room.
Oh, my. One of the most unusual signings was the signing of Don Button, the Houston shortstop. He actually signed in a funeral parlor. 2-1 pitch. Outside, it's ball three, 3-1. He came out of a little town called Sherrill, South Carolina. No, not Sherrill. Atlanta, South Carolina. And he was one of those highly publicized youngsters that everybody was interested in. And when it came down to graduation day, so many scouts showed up, they had to have a large room to put them all in to kind of go over things. And that was about the only place where they could find a nice meeting room. Three and one on Bob Lillis. The pitch is whacked foul, hit down the right field line and out of play. Full count, 3-2.
Here's tonight's official paid attendance.
10,761 the paid attendance tonight.
1858.
Throw to first, not in time.
Total of 15,159.
Actually, over 15,000 in the ballpark tonight. The ladies' night crowd with 10,761 paid. Let's keep an eye on the runner, Aspermonte. He's holding up, and the pitch is outside, ball four, and Lillis walks. That's the second walk given up by Bob Moorhead, and it will bring up the pitcher, Bob Bruce.
At bat, number 30, Bob.
Ralph, I suppose one of the toughest jobs that a baseball scout has is that, you know, everything is relative, I suppose, but it's one thing to see a big league game and realize that these fellows have talent and are professionals, but another thing to see a 17-year-old boy out there and try to visualize what he can be in 4 or 5 or 6 years.
No doubt about that.
They look for the bunt. And the pitch is over, a strike call.
One thing you can never tell in any ball player, doesn't make any difference who he is whether or not he can compete and have the ability to compete against tough competition. They might shine in the lower minors in high school, but you'll never know until they get up here in the major leagues.
Foul ball, whacked back out of play. What about this, Ralph? You hear this theory discussed a lot, too. They say that some youngsters, some 16 and 17-year-old boys, are about as mature as they'll be as others would be at 20 and 21, whereas some are just beginning to blossom out. Is that true?
That's very true. You take two pitchers, two great pitchers, Ewell Blackwell and Don Drysdale. They didn't mature until late in their teens. And when they were small in high school, they didn't show too much.
And all those things a scout has to figure out. Ground ball bounced past the mound and over second into center field for a base hit. Aspermonte around third is headed in. He'll score the ninth run of the game for the Colt 45s. So Bob Bruce singles up the middle, driving in Bob Aspermonte, and it's 9-2. Now the hitter is Al Spangler, the leadoff batter. Spangler has reached on an error, single to right, driving two runs in. Fly to center and fouled out to Sammy Taylor. Spangler one hit and four times up tonight. Batting at 271. One run in, last half of the eighth inning. 9-2 now in favor of Houston. Bob Moorhead's pitch. A fastball inside at the letters. One ball and no strikes. The Mets remain here overnight. Leave early tomorrow morning and fly back to New York, arriving at Idlewild about 1:55 tomorrow afternoon and going direct to the Polo Grounds. Taking high, ball two, 2-0. Ball three outside. Moorhead going behind on the count now, 3-0. Ken McKenzie throwing easily in the bullpen now for the New York Mets. Bob Lillis on second, Bob Bruce on first, one down. Up in pitching position, around comes the arm. Ball four, he walks Spangler on four pitches, and that loads him up. Third walk by Bob Moorhead. Now the Colt 45s have the bases loaded with Joey Amalapatano coming up and one man down. The Mets get back to New York and the Polo Grounds tomorrow. Chris Cannizzaro will be rejoining the ball club. The Mets do not have to make any squad cuts to make room for Cannizzaro because they were already one man under. Bases loaded now with one away. Amalapatano the hitter. Mets have the infield set up looking for two in the outfield straight away. Moorhead using the full windup. Here's his pitch. Ground ball hits the third. The play goes to the plate. There's one. Sammy Taylor does not have a play at first. Cliff Cook firing to Sammy Taylor to get the force play on the lead runner, Bob Lillis. Now there are two away. Bases loaded and Jim Pendleton, the number three hitter in the lineup, coming up. Pendleton singled to center, driving in the first run of the game for the Colt 45. Since then, has flied to center, fouled out, and successfully sacrificed a runner over. Right-hand batter with good power, pitched by Moorhead. A ground ball hit toward the hole, knocked down by Cook, kicked by his foot, it rolls toward Neal, and a runner's in. Cliff Cook going to his left, got his glove on it, couldn't hold it. And when it hit the ground, it accidentally hit his foot and booted on towards second. It'll be scored as a base hit. Ball was hit toward the hole. So for Pendleton, scored a base hit and a run batted in for Jim Pendleton, his second of the game. And the 45s now enjoy a 10-2 lead here in the last of the eighth inning. Bob Bruce crossing the plate. Bases loaded, two down, the cleanup batter, Norm Larker. Two runs are in here in the last of the eighth inning. Norm Larker, the batter, he's the eighth man up in the inning. Ground ball hit hard towards second. Neal is up. He flips to Chacon for the force play on Pendleton, retiring the side. So the side is out in the last half of the eighth inning with Houston scoring two runs on two hits. One error charged to Charlie Neal and three men left on. And now at the end of eight innings, the score is the Houston Colt 45s 10 and the New York Mets 2. 10-2 at the end of eight. In other games in the major leagues, in the National League, the Dodgers and the Giants both were beaten. The Milwaukee Braves, playing their best ball of the year now, beat the Dodgers 7-1. A six-hitter for Bob Shaw. He's now 8-2. Stan Williams was the loser. Henry Aaron, who's really breaking out now, hit a two-run homer. Braves come into the Polo Grounds to open a four-game series on Monday night. Joey Jay hurled a three-hit shutout as the Reds beat the Giants 8-0. Billy Pierce had to leave that game when he suffered a two-inch cut on the heel above the Achilles tendon. He was the losing pitcher, Cincinnati winning it 8-0. Last night, Bob Purkey, and winning his 11th against a single loss, shutout the Giants. It's been a tough road trip for the Giants.
Pittsburgh beat Chicago 6-3 in a day game. Bob Friend winning his seventh. Dick Ellsworth was the loser. Don Hoke, Billy Williams, and Ron Santo hit home runs. The Mets, of course, will be contending with Billy Williams and Ron Santo at the Polo Grounds tomorrow night. The Phillies and the Cardinals were not scheduled. In the American League, the Minnesota Twins moved into first place by shooting the Angels 5-4, caught the winner, Fowler the loser, Batty Allen and Moran homered. The Orioles, behind Barber, beat the Red Sox 7-4. Jim Teel hit his 17th. Washington, a hot club right now, beat Cleveland 4-3. Here we go into the ninth inning. Felix Mantilla in as a pinch batter for Bob Moorhead. Foul ball off strike one. Ninth inning, Mets trailing 10-2. Felix Mantilla batting for Bob Moorhead. Pitched by Bob Bruce, a breaking ball outside. One ball and one strike. Washington Senators now have won six of their last seven. They beat Cleveland tonight 4-3. Marty Coutinho, the winner in relief, and Gary Bell was the loser in relief. Off the outside corner, two balls and a strike. The only game that isn't over has gone seven out in Kansas City. It's 9-6. The A's leading the White Sox at the end of seven. Foul tipped into the dirt right by home plate in the count even at 2-2. And at Kansas City slugfest, Ed Charles, who along with Manny Jimenez came to Kansas City in the Bob Shaw deal, has hit two home runs. Jim Landis and Jerry Lumpy each have homered. You'd have to say that's a trade that has helped both ball clubs because Bob Shaw, now 8-2 on the year, certainly has helped the Milwaukee Braves. Swing and a miss on a curve. Strike three, and Mantilla goes down swinging. That's seven strikeouts for Bob Bruce. One away and nobody on. The batter now is Richie Ashburn at the top of the order. Richie hitless and four times up. Richie hitting at 287. One away, nobody on. We're in the top of the ninth inning. This is the rubber game of the three-game series. Originally a four-game series, but last night's game was flooded out. Mets won the opener 3-1. Colts won the second game 3-2. Pitch is over, strike two. This is the first game this year between the Mets and the Colt 45s that has not been a close ball game. Now a two-strike pitch by Bruce. Ground ball chopped foul in behind a Cookie Lavagetto. Tomorrow night at the Polo Grounds at 8 o'clock, Roger Craig will be pitching for the New York Mets against the Chicago Cubs. Low curve is foul down the first baseline, no play. Roger pitched last Sunday against the Chicago Cubs and pitched an outstanding game as the Mets beat the Cubs 2-1. Roger winning his third of the year. He bested Dick Ellsworth in that mound duel. Roger went out of the game in the ninth, and Ken McKenzie came in to get the final two outs on a double play ball. One ball and two strikes. Craig will not be pitching against Ellsworth tomorrow night because Ellsworth was the pitcher for the Cubs in their game today. Might be Bob Buell. 1-2 delivery, a fly ball hit the left field. Ambling back goes Spangler, the left fielder, and he has it for the out. Two men down now in the top of the ninth inning. Bob Bruce, who has been a very steady pitcher for Harry Craft's Houston Colt 45s, now within one out of picking up his fifth win of the year against a single loss. The only game that he lost, he pitched a five-hitter. His single loss was to the Dodgers on a five-hitter. Elio Chacon takes inside. It's ball one. He struck out 10 in beating the Braves and winning his first game this year. Has beaten the Giants, the Pirates, the Braves again, and the Dodgers.
Ball two, two balls and no strikes to Elio Chacon.
Come on, New York!
Hot, sticky night. Bob Bruce taking time now to step back off the mound to kind of wipe the perspiration off his brow. Two and oh on Elio Chacon. The pitch by Bruce. He bluffs at the bunt, lets the pitch go, and it's ball three. 3-0. Elio's been on base three times in a row. He singled in the third, walked in the fifth, and walked in the seventh. So he has more than done his job as a table setter, trying to get on base for the big hitters to bring him in. 3-0 pitch. Strike one call. 3-1. Houston, 10 runs on 10 hits and one error. The New York Mets, 2 runs on 6 hits, 4 errors. 3-1 pitch. Too high, it's ball 4. And so Elio is on for the fourth straight time. Walk number 6, surrendered by Bob Bruce. And the hitter now is Cliff Cook. Cliff 0 for 4 tonight.
At bat number 6, Cliff Cook.
One ball, no strikes. Now to Cliff Cook. Cliff twice has been struck out, flying to center and popped to second. Last year, Houston was in the American Association, and the followers of the Association Houston team of last year were anxious to inquire about Cliff Cook because he hurt them a lot. Pitch outside, it's ball 2, 2-0. Cliff was playing in Indianapolis where he had 32 home runs and was named the circuit's most valuable player. Pitching 2-0. Inside and low, it's ball 3. Bruce behind him now, 3-0. Bruce is getting a little bit tired. It's certainly understandable. He has thrown a lot of pitches on an unusually hot night. Nothing going in the Houston bullpen as Bruce works with a big lead here in the ninth inning. Frank Thomas loosening up those shoulder muscles, crouched in the on-deck circle. 3-0 pitch. He takes all the way, and it's ball 4. 2 men are on, and Thomas coming up. 7 walks and 7 strikeouts now for Bob Bruce, who has given up 2 runs and 6 base hits. 2 home runs in tonight's game, for those of you who joined us late, by Carl Warwick with a man on for the Houston Colt 45s, and by Marv Thronberry for the New York Mets with the bases clear. Thomas 0 for 4. Foul ball, back into the screen, strike 1. Frank now down to 294 as he tries to fight his way out of a batting slump. Frank had a real good hot streak. He hit safely in 18 straight games. He was up around 335, and then his bat cooled off, as bats will do. Slow curve taken, 1 ball and 1 strike. Ralph Kiner points out, and the home run hitters all agree, the home runs usually come in clusters. Pitching 1-1. He holds up again outside and low, ball 2-2-1. Marv Thronberry waiting on deck, hoping that Thomas can get on for him. 10-2 in the ninth inning. Now Bruce pausing for a moment to get a little bit of rest. Count 2 balls and 1 strike. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a miss and a low breaking pitch. And he really reached back for a little something extra on that one. Pitching 2-2. Outside and low, another breaking ball thrown by Bob Bruce to Frank Thomas, and now the string is out, 3-2. 3-2, two down, two men on, top of the ninth inning, Houston 10 and the New York Mets 2.
Come on, Bruce, fire in
now. Now Thomas asks for time, and he steps out. Elio Chacon leading off second. Cliff Cook leading off first. The 1 second stop. The 3-2 pitch. The runners go. It's outside ball four with Marv Thornberry coming up. Three walks in a row now by Bob Bruce, so the bases are loaded with two down. Thornberry 3-for-3 in tonight's game and a walk. That's eight walks given up by Bruce. Three of the eight here in the ninth inning. And now Harry Kraft sends the signal down to the bullpen, and we'll have a pitcher starting to warm up. As yet, the warm-up action hasn't started. Right here, a quick pause for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, 810 on your radio dial, where the time is 3 minutes past 1 o'clock.
Bases loaded, two down in the top of the ninth inning. Marv Thornberry, the hitter, against right-hander Bob Bruce. Thornberry has hit a home run, drawn a walk, single to left center, and single with a ground smash off the glove of Norm Larker. Here's the windup pitch to Thornberry, a swing and a miss, strike one. Johnny Anderson, a right-hander, cranking up now down in the Colt 45 bullpen. One strike count on Marv Thornberry, the pitch by Bruce. Drives him back from the plate. One ball and one strike. Base hit in this particular spot, and everybody's ears will start to perk up a little bit. Pitching 1-1. A ground ball hit down the first baseline. Larker has it. He races to the bag, flips to Bruce. The game is over. Marv Thornberry grounding out. Norm Larker to the pitcher covering, and the Colts win it. In the ninth inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, and three left on. We'll be back with the line score of tonight's game and a word about the homestand that opens tomorrow night at the Polo Grounds in just a moment. The final score, the Houston Colt 45s 10 and the New York Mets 2. You know, baseball's a funny game in some respects. You see some fellows come along and they just zoom to the top and then suddenly they're back in the minors. I guess that's true of a lot of things. Take beer, for example. It's like baseball in that to stay on top, you've really got to have it. And I think you'll agree that Rheingold has really got it. It's been New York's favorite beer now for many, many years. And Rheingold's amazing popularity can be explained by two little words. Extra dry. Rheingold brews the long, slow, costlier way, so you get a dividend in taste. A taste that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Yes, sir, Rheingold.